Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Well, it's been one hell of a week. I think we all have to admit that. Today I'm going to talk probably a lot about what happened to Tucker Carlson. And hopefully Elizabeth is going to jump on in a second. There she is. Okay. Yay. Okay. Go ahead and push one and we'll get this party started. Yay. Okay. Hello.
Hello. Hello, darling. How are you? We on the air? I'm on the air.
Yes, we are. I'm doing pretty good. Hold on. Cover up the heckle words real quick. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's an expensive show. I just got charged a penny a minute, 1 cent per minute for my call.
For what?
I was like, apparently my phone company thinks it's funny to stress me out. That's why. So I'm like,
God.
Okay, let's do math. I'm doing math. Is it $1.80? Is it $18? How much is this call going to cost me? I don't know. But that's okay.
Not for this show. Is it?
For this call, yeah, for this number. Anyways, it's new. It's interesting. It's T-Mobile. It might be your friend. It could be your nightmare. We'll find out. Do you got a calculator?
Good Lord. If you have access to a computer, I can send you an invite to do a direct connect.
I don't.
Over the computer.
I don't. So what is it? A penny a minute. Quick. How stupid are we? I'm from the 70s. We didn't like math. Math was like demons.
Well,
it's demon
the show's 180 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So,
you're even worse than I am. You know, math is racist. I don't want to do this. This is evil. Let's do a chant instead.
Carry the one, solve for X.
I'm writing down my thoughts. The demons cannot create, they can just manipulate. And
when I schedule the only reason problem. I know the show is 180 minutes is because every time I create it, I have to click anywhere from 15 minutes to 180.
It's 6 times 3 is 18 plus 0. And then that would be 180 pennies, which would be $1.80, right? Where's Zach?
For the show.
Zach, we need you.
I know. I should invite him.
Maybe it's their new disclaimer. They want me to call them and talk to them, renegotiate a new plan with them. I don't know.
Assholes.
But I was like, of course. Of course. That's okay. It's only money. It's well worth it. I'll pay you. Someday I'll pay you to do this.
One of these days, we'll get some sponsors. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Red meringue. Because scotch is hard. Math is hard, and one scotch isn't. Glenn Moran, 12 years, but 12-year-old scotch. We'll get them.
Oh, there you go.
We'll get them no matter what. How you doing?
Okay.
I just made a sailing. You're
so
early.
Nice.
And now we're all set.
I'm doing good. Crazy week with Tucker going off air abruptly. I know that you had mixed feelings about him. But let me tell you, I do.
But you know what? You probably didn't like Lou Dobbs. I loved Lou Dobbs. They did the same thing to Lou Dobbs. They did the same thing to Bill Riley. But I didn't like Bill Riley. O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was an asshole. He was an asshole. But that's just everyone's opinion, not just mine.
But I don't really see how it's good business sense to fire him. Not only was he the number one show on Fox, but he was the number one news show across the board out of any channel.
They all were. Every
they
single
all
one
were?
Bill O'Reilly was number one. Lou Dobbs, he was 6 o'clock, boom. And he was like hammering it to everything that was going on, even before the terrible election and what they were doing to Trump and he was just talking too much truth and off his head went goodbye to you. And I was like, that was the end of news when Lou Dobbs left for me. And And then came, you know, who's this Tucker guy? Yeah, he was saying the same. Truth resonates when they are calling out what you see. Boom! Can you see? So I always like to use the analogy of the emperor has no clothes. It's like yes, we can see it too. But all news is just bullshit to distract and to train you and to keep you in this corral and that reservation. But what's so very, very shocking and most frightening thing about this was the fact that the government was going after him. The government was calling for him to be taken off the air.
Yeah, the Pentagon is celebrating.
And you had Congress and the Senate and the make-believe Speaker of the House, the bartender from Nicaragua, AOC, she from her limousine, she gave her little, well, this just shows that cancel culture works. It works like masks work, like vaccines work. And I was like, oh, my God, we are now.
She didn't really say that, did she?
I added to that. She said cancel culture. That does work. But the way, no, she said that. And I was like, oh, my God, did that just send horrible chills up my spine? Because they're in charge. And they've decided this is like Imelda Marcos saying, no, you will buy me more shoes. Damn it. And Lee will like it. Go look up Imelda Marcos in the Philippines. That was a very corrupt. They put North Korea and all the little dictators to shame, the Marcos, did what they did to the Philippines and how they treated their people. But that's what we have in our government right now. And they were celebrating the fact that Nazi, Stasi, fascist, the press, there is no, we don't approve of the press. The press is not good for the people. The press is a threat to democracy. These are real words coming out of our government's mouth. And then, we don't have that show. We can't watch that show anymore. And you know what? We can't watch Candidate on ABC.
That's crazy. I should have downloaded that clip. Maybe I'll try to find it still.
You probably can't because you're not allowed to see it.
Oh, that's true.
Because he's bad. And that's what we have. That's what we're left with as the news, because they took the one guy that had a little bit of balls. And the reason he had so many balls, or such a large pair of steel-clad balls that supported his strong backbone that he had, was that he had money to fall back on. He didn't give a shit what he said. He didn't care if he got fired or not. This man was loaded full of money. He was a trust fund baby, for fuck's sake. This was fun for him. So he could say whatever he thought was cool. Whatever, you know, and he started opening the door to free independent journalists coming on that you never would hear from. And he opened the door crack for, what's really going on in the world, guys? Here, the Wizard of Oz. He's only this tall. He's on that stool. And, yeah, so I think that the fact that nobody is crying out and lamenting this and they're giving anyone a platform to see how terrible this might be. You know, here, Jess, they fired the biggest pussy whiny bitch on earth the same day as they fired Tucker from CNN, which nobody watches.
I still don't know what that was all about.
You know, it was the fact that they're bad boys. They're both fired. They both didn't like them. You know,
here's what I really don't like. It's all of the so-called truthers that come out after the fact and start saying that Tucker is just as big a part of the machine, and Tucker was, you know, was a VIP at Comet Pizza, and Tucker is, you know, basically like the center of a pedophile ring and all of this stuff, and people who are like, oh yeah, I remember seeing all that, you know, that Tucker was part of all that stuff with Pizzagate. Well, let me tell you, I was one of the original Pizzagate researchers, and I don't remember seeing his name show up one time in any of it. And then, of course, when I asked people for the proof, because now here we are, 6 years later, oh, well, I had it saved in my other phone, and I just can tell you that I saw it with my own eyes. And it's like, well, I didn't. And I was not a casual Pizzagate researcher. I went I could give guided tours down that rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm and really sick of it. I'm sick of the truthers going out there and bashing him after his platform's taken away, after he can't respond.
Well, I think that the kids in the hall, because they don't do anything but whine after they've been thrown out of the class. They don't give any – they're not giving any productive type of interaction with the classroom, let alone society, and they're sitting out in the hallway, you know, ruining things for everybody else and making a lot of noise. They're not truthers. They are keyboard warriors that probably need to go out and get a job, look around, clean their house, take care of their family, something constructive other than poo-pooing and everybody is something other than what we need. And but what about you? What are you doing for us? Nothing, but I'll let you know that he's the troll opposition.
Yeah,
he's
but he's the exact
devil worshiper. He's really a woman. Can't you tell the clavicles? You know, it's almost like, okay, what does this have to do with anything? Can you not have some rational, critical thinking skills? Can you maneuver through traffic? Can you read a book? Can you discern what goes on in your community? What do you hear coming out of the radio, if that's the only news you have, or from the squawk box, if that's the only news you have? Is the news true, or is the news there to manipulate you? What's really going on? What do you see? And what do you see? Something's wrong, perhaps? What is wrong? Is it they don't. But they'll let you know who's the bastard who's probably – it's his Tucker's fault. And you're stupid for listening to him. I don't have any patience for this at all. This is not the same. This is a syndrome. A syndrome of apathy, the great apathetic, dragging your feet, and the cart's not moving anymore. You're not helping, guys. That's what's going on.
Well, right, and then they can't answer simple questions like, okay, so so if you know he's the Arab Swansons or whatever, and of course, like, are you really saying that he's not part of the club because of his? And I'm like, well, okay, answer this very simple question. If he's part of the club, why did they fire him? Oh, you're just stupid and blah, 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 blah. Like, they can't answer. Like, can you please just go down this very simple logic trail with me? Why did they fire him? Why is it that the same day he gets fired, all of these truthers are now saying that he's, you know, part of Pizzagate and he's wearing a red bracelet, so that just means that he's, you know, also part of this Kabbalah whatever thing. And it's like, how do you even know that his kid didn't make him that bracelet? You know, it's just a simple yarn red bracelet, you know? Like, what do you mean? How is this proof to you people?
Why do you think this is
proof? And how are you calling yourself a truther if this is proof to you?
Honey, that's like a trust fund baby. Truthers, trust fund babies.
It could be.
I would separate yourself from, you know, are you still in? Are you a Bernie baby? Are you one of those? Are you? That's kind of like. You're now grown up. You've run for Congress. You're going to run for governor, for God's sakes. Who cares what these crazy little kids? They're not productive. As far as I'm concerned, I think they might be the most hyperbolic, controlled opposition to any thinking rationale.
I'd have to agree.
The dissent and craziness into a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. This man had the balls to talk against Ukraine. Jean-Pierre, I'm going to miss that, you know. I mean, he had such humor in poking fun. He would have been the best Weekend Update host on Saturday Night Live ever. That was his show with the real news. And And they are like, oh, he's gone. Why is he gone? Let's see. He made fun of the Ukraine. I'm mad at him because he didn't stand up for Pastor Arthur. But he did expose Trudeau and his tyranny. on the truckers convoy when no one else would. He had a lot of ethical backbone. He had Bobby Kennedy on, for God's sakes, and that's a faux pas because Bobby Kennedy is the disinformation czar, and he needs
right,
to
stay
in his
basement. Right, and he got fired that next week.
He got fired the same next week, but he also got fired over the weekend because he made a real heartfelt speech at the Heritage Society, which is probably very, very conservative, very religious perhaps, collegiate environment. And he out and out called out the pharmaceutical fuckery, sorcery, mindfuck of mutilating our children sexually because of a false mental illness that, that cannot be addressed but must be pushed along with abortion. Yes. We all agree with that. Oh, no. He bit the transphobic hand or the transgender hand that feeds him, and he didn't have a job on Monday. And I think that's really what happened because that's the big elephant in the room that nobody can talk about is that – and I started seeing all these commercials, and I'm like, oh, my God, if only – I don't want to play one on the show, but these are – they are commercial. It's a happy feel-good. Remember they used to have the recovery program hospitals years back?
Okay. Yeah.
It was one of those commercials, and it is for a children's psychiatric hospital. It's the name of it. And, you know, thank God my governor, Pritzker, his family has funded these hospitals in Illinois. So we have plenty of them to go around. And it is specifically for the little five-year-old who will, you know, tell you in a – do you know who Rodney I lost the name. Alan Ripple. He was the cutest. He was the quintessential first cute little black boy that they had rolling around as a cute little guy. He did all the commercials. All the commercials. Chubby little face, big fro. This one's the same. He looks like a mini Whoopi Goldberg. And he's just cute with the big thick braids, and he's happy. He's in a rocket chair, and his mommy's right there too, and they're in a garden with swings and talking about his before life. And he's four, right? And his coming out of his mouth, my birth parents, they lied to me. But my new mommies, no, I'm serious. My new mommies, they told me the truth, that I'm really a girl and not a boy. And it was, you know, I'm just like, oh my, this is propaganda, but this is not only this, but this is your preschool program, your government-funded preschool programs that are rolling out in Illinois. You get them everywhere, and you have to only give state-funded food. You have to sign the waiver that you will only feed your child this food. And I'm like, oh, because it's got hormone blockers. I'm already like, oh, this is horrible. And this is big pharma. Big pharma's running this whole gender reassignment, and big pharma runs the government, and big pharma runs the media, okay? And big pharma had many other things going on in the background besides just these vaccines with the RM, and they have a lot of things going on, and they're all of a demonic agenda to brainwash a small child and to already have the system set up for this. This is the new movement. It's forget about recycling. It is reassigning gender identity to your child. And the lawsuit we just lost in Illinois, the father found out his 11-year-old boy or girl, custody battle. The school had been helping the child with gender reassignment behind the scenes, which is what all the schools do.
That is so dangerous. What? Okay, just let me just really quick say this. Let me just say this really quick. Okay. So
let me just real quick something done. The only right that the parent has is the right to choose whether or not you go to public school or private school. That is it. Because it is the school's right to educate your child. And this is education in the state of Illinois. And the federal judge that Joe Biden just appointed said so. So that's what's going on. And that is your new master is the transgender movement.
So let me just say this.
My little rant there.
What happens if the children are on some other kind of medication that interacts with the hormones that are being given to their child, to this child by the school, and the parents don't know, and there's some kind of a reaction, and the parents take a child to the hospital because they don't know what's going on? How dangerous is this that the parents are not involved in this stuff? When is it a risk to benefit ratio?
There's another new disease right around the corner. I have a friend who's just doing these. I'm 54, and I've only found out that I'm on the third year of my life of finding out that I had adult autism. Walk away from the fucking doctors. Walk away from the TV. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. The doctor said I have my high-functioning autism. It's the designer disease of the month. You're going to have a whole new a fucking color developed with a ribbon and a parade and a Make-A-Wish Foundation for all this interaction between the drugs. There'll be new diseases. They've already gotten rid of the allergy season, for God's sakes, right now. We've got another Omicron strain coming through along with tree pollen that's causing people to gag and choke, can't breathe. But now they got a new vaccine for it. How tricky and fun is that? They don't care. They don't. There is no old-fashioned, we got your best interests at heart. No, they have an industry rocking and rolling. This is the medical industry. This is, to quote Wall Street, the very lucrative American medical healthcare system that China has invested in. They don't care. The more diseases and syndromes, the better. You know, it's
right.
Bigger and better and more lucrative than the private, profitable prison system. Now we have child psychiatric hospitals everywhere. If you notice, I don't know how it is by you, but that's all I hear is the mental illness problem that our children have. That's the biggest. It's like, wait a minute. Is that because you've got all these hospitals that you put up under the Pritzker Foundation that now you need to fill? Because they're mental health hospitals. We have child psychiatric hospitals. And your special ed department now, we're taking it in hand with this. And now, what's this new thing? Gender reassignment. Child's a mess because they don't know who they are. You've been lying to them. Oh, the end of the video for this hospital is, he's non-binary. So you're non-binary, I'm non-binary. And that made me just go through the roof. Because you know what they've just done? They have taken your humanity away, your connection to God, and you're not even human, you're non-binary. You're not made in God's image. They've just destroyed
ones and zeros.
The family all in one fell swoop. The family is gone, your connection to God, and you have no accountability or responsibility to anyone. You're non-binary. Oh, my dear God. It's wicked. It's demonic. From looking from the outside, it's brilliant. Because then they, what else did they? They made hate speech a crime. We're hateful, terrible terrorists. We speak out against this. And, you know, Tucker had to get pulled. That's exactly why he got pulled over the weekend. I mean, because there's been so many times when he hasn't been on and he has said guest host, and I'm like, oh, God, he's suspended. He's going to be fired. Because every show he's done, he's crossed the line. He's crossed the line of what these media companies will talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But he keeps coming back. But this one's a big one. And I just heard that, and same thing with Lou Dobbs. I'm like, where is he at? Where is he? He's silent. You know why? He's still under contract. He hasn't been fired. Lou Dobbs,
same thing with Tucker.
Tucker Carlson hasn't been fired, but he's under contract. But he can't be on their program, but he can't also can be anywhere else because he's under contract with Fox.
Well, he did do a video. Did you watch it? It was short. It was 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I should try to find it and play that one too.
You know what? Yes, you should.
Okay.
And you know, talk about this truther movement that I'm so disillusioned with, and I really think they're a bunch of dead weight. Dead weight, non-productive, crazy people on Facebook. That's pretty much what I think of them. And I've unfriended many, many, many of them.
It's ridiculous. And then the other one that really got me today was the truthers saying things like everybody keeps saying this thing, oh, well, you know that this – nobody read the fine print of the class action lawsuit against Facebook. It says that you can't sue them again. Well, no shit, Sherlock. Virtually every class action lawsuit says that. But for the same thing. You cannot sue them for the same thing.
Oh, my God. I scroll past it. I'm like, really? Really? Are we going to have to copy and paste this so I get better stuff coming through my feed? Do you really think this has anything to do with anything at all? That's how relevant they are.
Yeah, you guys are stupid running in to sign up for this thing.
They'll fight over which bug will give you the worst bite and make you itch more. The red one over the blue one. They make me crazy. Make me fucking crazy.
Yeah. Look at
there
the
was one
post. Oh, God. Shut up.
I had to click on, and I usually don't, but I was given the honor. I started freaking out because the honor of doing the good news. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have not changed since I was, like, 11. If I had to do a book report, I just do everything but sit down and fucking open that book. And I'm like, I almost cleaned the carpets.
I actually don't think I made that announcement that mom had to work 7 days in a row this week. So she's just going to, take it easy. And Elizabeth has been given the honor of doing the good news report in her stead.
Yeah. So I was given the honor of doing this, the hard task. Right? So I went into the land of telegrams, and I clicked on because they had a little thing. They've been talking about this, going down the rabbit hole of, oh, Tucker's really, a state sick child pedophile, blah, blah, blah. Because look at this. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is even Dr. Christine's telegram. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, what's behind him in this farewell speech? Someone took and looked at what was on his wall in his private office, and I'm like, oh, my God. So I risked the virus, clicked onto the thing. Lo and behold, he's got a signed copy or a special copy of the Constitution on his wall framed. And I'm like, look at how they've got everyone in this land of crazy conspiracy, everything's, go down this rabbit hole and that rabbit hole and wear your boots down this one. Oh, my God. I was like, I can't believe I did this. I don't care. It's not like, who cares? Like, are you going to criticize and analyze everything in my little office? Because you can really tell something about a person from that, not just from the way I speak or my body language, or whatever. They're crazy. Those truth to people. That's why I have just like, there's
go
three
find
of them.
Some
that
food.
I think that still, huh?
To those people, go plant some food. Why don't you go do something productive with your life?
Go outside and get a tan. Yes, get off of Facebook. Nobody cares.
Exactly.
I don't think, or you shouldn't. You really shouldn't. There's there was a time when. Nobody, this was not people's lives. We had televisions, okay? Not like we didn't have the same technology. We had a TV, but it was not always on in the house. You'd come over and people would be talking. Maybe there'd be some people would have like a radio with a baseball game or some background music. But the TV was not a constant. You didn't have MSNBC or CNN or Fox or the Weather Channel, they had like people pegged as like, what kind of person are you? Are you the kind of person that has a Weather Channel on in the background all the time? And I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. So I'm like, sometimes I do, and I have a friend who does. Her and her husband loved it, and it was kind of like that's all they did. They just had to have that kind of a mind-bending sound and the visuals and to know what the weather was everywhere at every second of the day, but they could care less about what was happening economically to the country, politically. Were we in a war? Was, the sky was one was coming in. That was kept them content. And now people are the same way with this. And it's like, there was a time when people didn't care about the news. And it was kind of like their own lives. That's what went on, you know, what was going on in their backyard with their kids down the street at their job. I don't think they even did the local politics. But it was kind of like when somebody would come over and visit, be like, so what's new? What's going on in your world? That human connection of what was new, not so much what the media was telling us to think and feel and talk about and telling us what our reality was. This mm-hmm. was different when I was a kid. And it was different even when I was an adult. And I think going back to Joe Loria, who's a very amazing journalist, very smart, love him, and, you know, he's a very old man now, so you don't see him a lot. But I saw him on the Julian Assange marathons that they would have years back, trying to get people awareness of the fact that journalism is being attacked. Our free speech is being impended upon. This was in the 90s when Bush Sr. took us into a crazy war that need not be in across the ocean into a land where nobody cared. There was no reason for us to be over there. And they've even done a documentary on how much so we didn't need to be over there now. But that was the Iraq War, the Gulf War. And that was in the 90s, the early 90s. And Joe Loria said the day we attacked, and that was before 9/11, 10 years before, that the news changed. You couldn't get a different perspective. It was one perspective. It was one story, one narrative, no matter what channel you put on. There was only three channels. I think it was before Ted Turner did CNN, I think, but I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You still had the same, and he said that was frightening because you always had a different perspective because you had different journalists.
Right, and even Tucker not too long ago said that he really is embarrassed by his handling of the Iraq war and how he used to think that everybody was just stupid who didn't believe the same way that he did and that we had to be there and there was no other reason and anybody who thought differently, you know, was just, you know, stupid. And he said recently, you know, in hindsight, he feels embarrassed.
Did he realize what he had gotten caught up in?
Yes.
What that was?
Yes, he did. And
so
he apologized for it.
Hive mentality.
Yes,
that
correct.
The bread and circus. Like, you know, the us and them, the Bears and Packers. Where you can't get anyone to talk about anything other than the fucking football game on Sunday.
Right. And I just thought this was really interesting because, you know, like everybody keeps saying that he's just a sellout, whatever, but I really do think that, you know, he's done a 180. He's done, you know, he's had his coming to Jesus moment, so to speak, and really just understands now what kind of brainwashing program that he was under, just like the rest of us. Here's Lily.
Hey, Lily, how are you doing? Welcome, baby. You know, it's funny that it doesn't matter. We're talking about Parker real quick. It doesn't matter what he thinks, what his real opinions are, or what kind of person he is. It's how he reports on the news and what kind of story he brings to the table.
Yes.
And, you know, he could be an absolute idiot. It's like, you know what? I think, you know, this shtick of the khakis and the bow ties and the collegiate thing needs to go. But that's his thing. That's his thing. That's you. Okay, right? Like comedians get a little thing. It still is. He's not dead, for God's sakes. He's just on vacation. He's being paid. But, you know, he was bringing amazing stories to the forefront. He was bringing independent journalists who don't get anything but maybe YouTube. He was bringing them out because they were doing good journalism and bringing the stories out. Do you remember the story he brought out? I can't remember. And isn't it a shame that, boom, we didn't know who this guy was, and now we still don't. But he reported on the actuaries, the insurance actuaries that do the stats for insurance, life insurance, payouts and such things, that the numbers of the last year have been staggering to catastrophic, to oh my fucking God, the dinosaurs became extinct kind of level of oh my God, because of the deaths from since the rollout of the vaccine. Tucker had him on saying those things. That was months ago. They didn't fire him for that. But he was able to bring that to the table. He was doing good reporting. And I don't really care if he's, you know, a conservative dork that lives in Connecticut and his kids are all racist that wear the MAGA hats or whatever picture they wanted to paint of him. I don't care because he's a good reporter. And that really should be your measuring stick. What type of quality work is coming out of this guy?
You know, right. And the state of reason that they gave for him leaving was because of his January 6th coverage. And it's like, okay, well, did he lie, though? Did he lie about
it?
He handed the tapes from the Speaker of the House, who is in charge of securing the House.
I know. Did they cancel the Speaker yet? Was it Chuck Schumer and AOC that were like these little sharks that did a little victory dance that we got him off of the air because he's a threat to our democracy?
Mm-hmm.
And what about Kevin McCarthy? Isn't he also a threat, if that was what it was? Or was it the fact that he's opening up too many boxes of worms? The truth is coming out. We're seeing the mask is falling off the government. The people aren't buying your lies anymore.
Yeah,
and
but
is
who's
going to
talk about it? Tucker's not.
No,
also,
I am. We will.
Here's another question. Where the hell is Kevin McCarthy? Why hasn't he said anything about Tucker Carlson? He's the one that gave him the goddamn tapes, excuse me, but he was the one that gave him the tapes. Why is he not saying anything? Why is he not coming to Tucker's aid? What? So many questions.
Why?
Will,
you know,
have
why
any
would
thoughts
he?
On this?
Well, I don't, why would he? Why would he? That's not their place, really. I mean, that's the viewers, the Fox viewers. You have freedom to choose what station you watch.
I understand that. My question is, the stated reason that Tucker was fired was because of the January 6th case.
There's no stated reason, though.
Fox.
Oh, well, I missed that.
Yeah, so why is it?
Didn't Disney buy Fox anyway?
BlackRock did. BlackRock owns, I think, part of Fox.
I thought they just had a recent deal where Disney now owns it, and so then that makes all the sense in the world, you know?
That's really
Disney
true.
Disney owns BlackRock. BlackRock owns all of them. BlackRock owns CNN. So BlackRock actually sued themselves. When you look at who really owns these companies, BlackRock sued themselves.
So it's a tax write-off.
Yeah, exactly. And they got rid of somebody that they couldn't control. They couldn't control him. He's out of control.
Lily, what are your thoughts on this?
I have a lot of thoughts. I don't know. And some of them are contradictory, you know, like, because on the one hand, like, I don't trust any talking heads on the televised vision. However, I do know that Tucker Carlson brought up a lot of really important stories and points, you know, like that nobody was getting anywhere else in the media. And so for that, you know, like, I will always, like, appreciate him for doing that, whether he is a controlled opposition or not. I have no idea. And quite honestly, like, I don't necessarily even care, you know, like, if he is, because the truth is getting out through him anyway, right? So we just need to be better at, sometimes I think, like, taking the meat and leaving the bones, you know, like, because everything is going to have a fault. Every person is. And, you know, like, I mean, it may be that every single thing that we are able to find that is the truth is some sort of controlled opposition at this point, you know, and that's just the way that it is. So I don't even care if he is. Like, I do appreciate what he said. I also, in some ways, like, find it a little silly, right? I mean, BlackRock, as we just talked about, like, owned Fox before and still owns it now and makes money off of this and gets to divide people and piss people off further.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was the coolest thing about Tucker was when he was on Fox, like I said, he's not dead. He'll be back. He'll be back doing a great podcast someplace. But
that's
he
true.
Would come on and it, the things that we knew these things because, you know, it's all over the internet. All over independent journalism, which is all over the internet. are the real facts of what's going on. He was mainstream. It was like, boom, he was talking about it. It was like, ta-da. And it was like, this is great. It was just great. It was like watching, I don't know, like your dad hit a home run or something. It was cool to see him tackle a story, and it's on the TV, not on your feed.
Right.
Or an obscure, you know? So that was the coolest thing. And then
yeah.
And then
it gave our truth a little bit more validity. not that we needed more. We already knew it, but it does feel good to have mainstream sources confirm what we've been saying for years. And so, you know, in that respect, mm-hmm. I really do appreciate, you know, Tucker, and in a lot of ways, actually. But speaking of controlled opposition, Russell Brand.
He was good. I was just going to say, you know, I love him. And I just watched Russell Brand did a Bill Maher, the convo couch, whatever he does. And he was great. But it got out and Tucker did a show on this, and he was like, you know, exposing the truth to everybody and waking people's eyes up. And even the grandmas were like, oh, my God, what's going on? And they're like, he's right. You've got your controlled opposition, your haters, the paid trolls that come out and say, oh, Fox News and Tucker Carlson became like the new dirty handle as far as like conspiracy theorists, fake news, Tucker Carlson, Fox News. They need to demonize it to where it's like, oh, you're not watching that crap, are you? And it's the government comes in and does that. The government comes in and, oh, Jesus, we have to – it's the perpetual mind psyop of the fine art of trolling a pop.
Yes. Well, let me – okay, so before we get to the good news report, we've got about 15 more minutes. Let me get to one video of Russell Brand, another, you know, controlled opposition, right? People keep saying that, oh, well, he's – you know, he dated Katy Perry, so I can't listen to anything that he has to say. You know, it's like, well...
According to the crazy people from Facebook, yes.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So it's like, you know, I think we all need to have a little bit more discernment in this kind of stuff and take truth for what it is and throw away the garbage, like Lily said, you know, take the meat and leave mm-hmm. the bones. And I think that mm-hmm. Russell Brand kind of nailed it on this. And this is his audio for us on what happened to Tucker. So I'm going to just pull up his, yeah. So this is, I'm going to just pull this up and post it in the group chat. Share, copy, hold on. And
I unfriended one of our biggest viewers, one of our stalkers, who lives
oh, yeah?
the show, and then criticizes us in vague posts. Oh, really?
Ew, who is that?
Well, I finally, I'll tell you. I'll type it in the chat. But I was like, I really have had it with you. You just like crossed the line. He did something, and it didn't have to do with us. But I was like, I can take, you know, it's like, aren't you cute? You're listening to us every week, and you think we suck. Why are you watching us, you know?
Yeah, what are you doing wasting 3 hours of your time? If you know what? If you follow everything that we do, you know, bitch, you're a fan.
It's so funny. Exactly.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to do this Russell Brand. And, yeah, let me know who this person is. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
I will. Look at my tablet.
Tucker Carlson has left Fox News and the mainstream media are celebrating, but should they check themselves before they wreck themselves, because Tucker's departure could be the beginning of the end for the mainstream. Hello there, you 6.4 million awakening wonders. Thanks for joining me on this voyage through truth and freedom on this great day where the mainstream media took a heavy blow. Tucker Carlson has left Fox News, and I see this as a great harbinger, the beginning of the end for the mainstream. A mainstream media that's been reduced to packaging and selling your data. They do it more than even porn sites. Check those facts for yourself. A mainstream media that siphons us off into silos, turns us against one another, plays to the gallery, preaches to the converted, has got nothing original to say, and serves the government rather than the public they were set up to inform. Remember, turn on the notification bell and subscribe right now so that we can continue to bring you great independent content every single day of the goddamn week, 365 days a year, even if it kills us, goddammit. Let's get into the story and see how the mainstream are reporting on Tucker's departure.
Right now, the media landscape is significantly different than it was just 2 hours ago, with two of the highest profile cable hosts out of a job.
Oh yeah, and Don Lemon left CNN as well.
First, the news that Tucker Carlson, who was regularly drawing 3 million viewers a night, parted ways with Fox News. And then, just an hour later, Don Lemon tweeting he is out at CNN after 17 years with that network.
It also shows that the media is obsessed with itself. It's in a sort of narcissistic spiral, reporting on its own perspectives, its own heroes and its own villains. What is the mainstream media supposed to be for? Just for a moment, remind yourself that it's actually about giving you information about important stuff, like how the government are governing, about how corporations are behaving, the information that you need to live your life efficiently and effectively so you're informed politically. It doesn't do that. You know it doesn't do that. You know that the mainstream media is owned by certain corporate interests. You know that it gets all of its revenue from like the pharmaceutical industry. You know that they're tied up with the military-industrial complex. And you know that they support the state with only partisan distinctions between this party or that party defining their output. They do not serve in your awakening. They do not serve your empowerment. Where Tucker Carlson goes next will inform us a great deal about our political landscape. If he joins an independent news organization, that's going to be fascinating. It will demonstrate where the power is moving, and it will show us why authoritarian, centralized systems of power are doubling down on trying to censor, control, surveil, prohibit, smear, destroy any alternative voices, because they recognize that now we can all communicate instantaneously and challenge any narrative that they put forward. That's why they've become ultra-propagandist.
The audience tops 3 million on an average night. Viewers drawn to Carlson's far-right opinions on issues from January 6th to immigration.
Far right, da-da-da. So you can see the opponents of Fox News and the detractors of Tucker use this as an opportunity to talk about the Dominion voting machines, the payouts, and Tucker Carlson being far right. Even if you are a Democrat, even if you are a socialist, to describe Tucker Carlson as far right is the only thing that's extreme that's going on there.
Carlson leaves just days after Fox Corporation settled a defamation lawsuit with Dominion Voting System for $787.5 million.
Much of the reporting of Tucker Carlson's departure has centered on Fox News' recent out-of-court settlement to Dominion, which, of course, is meant to verify Biden's authenticity and legitimacy as a president, and democracy more broadly is successful and functioning. Even if it's legally proven that those Dominion voting machines are effective, democracy itself is obviously broken, and here's just one example of how. Looking at other out-of-court settlements, for example, the pharmaceutical industry regularly settles out of court for much larger sums, and the pharmaceutical industry is the biggest funder of the mainstream media through advertising and commercials. In 2009, the largest healthcare fraud settlement in history, pharmaceutical giant Pfizer, paid $2.3 billion to resolve criminal and civil allegations that the company illegally promoted uses of four of its drugs. So if you were a really ethical organization, you wouldn't go to bat for the pharmaceutical industry while attacking Fox News. Oh, they've paid $787 million. It's the biggest fine in history. What about Pfizer's billions settled out of court? You were happy to promote their product. How often do you see on mainstream media, sponsored by Pfizer?
CNN Tonight, brought to you by Pfizer.
They cannot badmouth Pfizer. So them claiming to be ethical organizations is ridiculous. It's a minor difference that they are fetishizing and valorizing because they've got nothing real to offer you. They know they've got nothing real to offer you. In 2020, the pharmaceutical industry spent $4.5 billion US dollars on advertising on national TV in the United States. In 2020, TV ad spending of the pharma industry accounted for 75% of the total ad spend. Okay, so we know that CNN and MSNBC and Fox News are all in bed with the pharmaceutical industry. What's their relationship like with that other titan of US and globalist power, the military-industrial complex? Many of the retired military leaders employed by the networks as paid contributors have secondary affiliations that are rarely, if ever, mentioned, leaving viewers in the dark about whose interests they're promoting. That's why people like Tucker Carlson, because Tucker Carlson attacks the military-industrial complex. Tucker Carlson says, "I was wrong to promote the Iraq war. I'm ashamed of it." He sounds like a normal guy. You might not agree with him. You might think he's racist. You might think he's the worst person in the world. Or you might love him. But what the mainstream media, what these authoritarian systems are not acknowledging is we are being stripped of humanity. Yeah. We're being stripped of real discourse, real connection, real conversation. So people that seem real, they have an impact. And they're going to have an impact because they're operating in a landscape of total corruption where they're posing as pious. On what basis? They take money from the military-industrial complex. They take money from the pharmaceutical industry. They steal your data. They lie to you. And they want you to treat them like they're kind of priests or preachers or people with some kind of moral rectitude. They have none. None of the leading networks, including CNN, Fox, and MSNBC, makes a regular practice of announcing its military analysts' financial ties to the Pentagon, connections that could color their on-air comments. MSNBC is owned by Comcast, a subsidiary of General Electric, the 14th largest defense contractor in the U.S. One wonders if General Electric are out in Taiwan right now, agitating for new contracts when Taiwan and China situation gets a little bit more aggressive. So how can they report honestly and openly? Mm-hmm. They have deep relationships with corporate and state interests that prevent them from reporting to you openly and honestly. And now, data capture, a significant part of the mainstream media's economic model, is stealing your data, packaging it up, and selling it. So how can they ever report openly on privacy? News outlets entrusted with promoting transparency and privacy are also lobbying behind closed doors against proposals to regulate the mass collection of Americans' data. The Interactive Advertising Bureau, a trade group, reported it was lobbying against a push at the Federal Trade Commission to restrict the collection and sale of personal data for the purpose of delivering advertisements. The IAB represents both data brokers and online media outlets that depend on digital advertising, such as CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and dozens of other media companies. So all of them operate within one cohesive unit, capturing your data and selling it to advertisers. It's necessary for them to do that. So they can never do a story, "This just in, people are bundling up your data and selling it," even worse than pornography sites do. And it is me. Is it me? Or does the future feel more insecure and uncertain? Wars, pandemics, lies, trickery, my cats keep having kittens, the last one's personal. For those who are in the United States, there is a way to secure your hard-earned nest egg. American Hartford Gold make it easy to protect your savings and retirement accounts with physical gold and silver. With one phone call, they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside a qualifying retirement account like your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the U.S. with an A-plus rating from the BBB and thousands of satisfied clients. Right now, they will give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. This offer is only for U.S. customers. Call 866-505-8315. That's 866-505-8315. Or simply text BRAND to 998899. Get up to $5,000 of silver and protect your future in this crazy, crazy world with some solid precious metals literally made in stars. The lobbying reveals a tension that is rarely a center of the discourse around online privacy. Major media corporations increasingly rely on a vast ecosystem of privacy violations, even as the public relies on them to report on it. In 2020, a study found that news websites contained the most trackers globally, more than business, banking, entertainment, or adult websites. They're worse than porn. While users may turn to the news to learn of ways in which corporations compromise their privacy, it is news sites where we find the greatest risk to privacy, note the report. That is a literal definition of irony. You might go to a mainstream media news website to learn about privacy. They'll steal your data and sell it while you're doing it. What the Tucker Carlson story points to more broadly is the decay of trust in the mainstream media. Tucker is a powerful voice because people trust him. You might not like him. You might like Don Lemon, who's also left. You might like Jon Stewart, who I think is amazing, who asks difficult questions of people in power. That isn't what I'm saying. You've got the right to like whoever you want to like. What we're discussing is the economic models and how these economic models have been impacted by the technological revolution and how it has impeded their ability to tell you the truth and how it's now impossible for the mainstream media to do anything other than advocate for the state and work for corporate interests. Let's explain why using this fantastic article by Leighton Woodhouse. The era of mass media, during which just a dozen or so giant print and broadcast corporations enjoyed hegemonic control over the national public discourse, lasted about 80 years, beginning roughly a century ago when modern television was born. That era ended 2 decades ago when social media networks emerged. With the cheap, targeted advertising their technology enabled, the new tech platforms destroyed the business model of the mass media. Unable to compete for advertisers, the media mammoths of the 20th century floundered. The entire industry was thrown into a crisis, bleeding revenue and laying off staff. It's economics that's at the heart of this. That is why they are amplifying their message either on the left or the right. Not because they care about the issues. Of course they don't care about the issues any more than Budweiser care about trans issues or blue-collar union issues. They care about selling their product, providing a platform for advertisers. They can't do that effectively anymore because a better model, i.e. this one, currently exists. At the same time, social media began sorting news consumers into hyper-polarized digital silos, shattering the broad political center that the traditional media catered to and relied upon to sell advertisements to a mass audience. The New York Times, CNN, and even Fox News saw their broad national readerships and viewerships contract into smaller and ever more partisan echo chambers, even as ordinary people began to forge horizontal connections with one another online, exchanging information laterally. We have networked communication now. You tell us stuff all the time that we report on. One example being when that Facebook whistleblower came out and we went, oh, that's good, she's standing up to Facebook. All of our comments under the video was like, hold on a minute, they're going to use this information to censor people's communication on Facebook, not to impose regulation on Facebook itself. You were right. We now know that. Our business model and our media model is better because we're listening to you all of the time. We know that our collective intelligence is vast and greater. We know that we're limited. We know that I have personal biases, personal experiences that mean I can't sometimes see the wood for the trees, but we remain engaged with you so that we can evolve a better inclusive narrative that's beyond the political models that are dying, that this article describes as now irrelevant. We are using a model of the center versus the periphery, not the left versus the right. We're going to have to get over that because that's what they're using to keep us separated and divided because that's all they've got now. The public began generating their own autonomous narratives about world events, typically cobbled together eclectically from reports by various news outlets, but beholden to none of them in particular. That's literally what we do here. We look at mainstream media outlets, we find narratives that we believe are helpful to you, we use the information you give us, and we have a conversation about it. It's a better model. We're not beholden to advertisers in the same way. You know we have sponsorship, we require sponsorship, there are people here working. Who do you think's operating this camera? Who do you think's putting all this content together? But what we have is an authentic connection with you. We have the ability to apologize, to respond in real time. The power to shape the national narrative devolved downward, becoming increasingly fractured in the process. That's exactly what should happen. Power should be with you. We should be responding to you. You shouldn't have organizations telling you what to think, a government involved in your life intimately, corporations ignoring your requirements to amass huge profits. You have the power. That's how this should be developing. Martin Gurry, in his book, The Revolt of the Public, describes that now the possibility and necessity for more democracy exists. We have to accept that people live in different communities with different values, ideals, and principles. And instead of continually turning against one another, we could devolve democracy. Okay, you want to run your community like this, do you? Oh, you're Muslim. Oh, you're trans. Oh, you're Christian. You're working class. You've got to be able to run your own communities. Instead of turning people against one another in continual fear, you have to allow them to democratically govern their own communities. Or, alternatively, what you could do is centralize authority, censor dissent, smear your opponents, and shut down all opposition. That's what they're trying to do. This anarchic new media ecosystem has defined the public discourse ever since. For both elected politicians and the administrative state, it has constituted a perennial crisis. Bureaucracies manage populations by striking bargains with leaders. You can't negotiate with a mob, much less a thousand of them. From the perspective of the state, this new information landscape was essentially ungovernable. An entire regime of social control helmed by the most powerful politicians in the country in partnership with the titans of the media industry was felled. In the age of social media that the new platforms jump-started, the state's ability to control world events by playing reporters like pawns on a chessboard withered away as the influence of the media corporations they worked for dissipated. It's no longer to control information in the same way. That's why they are continually trying to introduce ideas that legitimize censorship and control. Oh, look at all this misinformation and disinformation. That's dangerous. What they recognize is that the state's power is diminishing, the traditional media's power is diminishing, the relationship they have with one another are becoming irrelevant. While this seems like a terrifying time, this is an amazing time. This is a time to take the power back. This is a time where you can demand control over your own life and your own community. You can simply say, we don't need you anymore. The political elite stumbled through this bedlam for two decades, but over that time, new gatekeepers emerged to replace those that had faded away with the decline of the mass media. The state created a new apparatus of control over the public discourse, one whose existence most Americans are still oblivious to. Though it has served the momentary partisan interests of both Republicans and Democrats at various times, to the political establishment at large, this flattened, fragmented digital media landscape has been a prolonged disaster. It thwarted the Obama administration's legislative ambitions by fueling the Tea Party. It gave rise to the ascendance of Donald Trump before defying the new president at every step through its constant agitation of a radicalized liberal resistance. During the pandemic, its rebellion against technocratic arrogance and authority drove vaccine hesitancy and opposition to lockdown measures and mask mandates. The pandemic was a unique time where we saw the assertion of authoritarianism by legitimizing its own measures through safety. At the beginning, I think most of us thought this is a unique situation. There is a need for state control and possibly an advantage to pharmaceutical innovation. As it evolved, different narratives began to emerge, and those narratives were controlled and shut down. We all experienced and saw that happen. Let me know in the chat and the comments what you learned during the pandemic period. All the while, it has hastened the shrinking of both major political parties and the growth of independent voters into a clear plurality, and probably any day now, an outright majority of the American electorate. What is emerging is the genuine possibility for a new political movement informed by independent media, enabling you to communicate what you want and how you want your individual, collective, and community life to be run. An emergence of a new federalism and secession in America could be the result of this, maybe should be the result of this, because who wants to spend the rest of their life arguing about gun control, not gun control, abortion, not abortion, progressivism, traditionalism, when it's possibly true that there are different ways of doing it. Do you imagine there might be tribes in Iceland that live differently from people in Senegal? Or why don't we put them in a room and kill each other until they agree whether it's better to eat fish or antelope? You know, this ridiculous way to live life. Let people be who they are. Here's a quote from a behemoth of the mainstream media, the New York Times, that indicates where we are in the media landscape right now. A majority of American voters across nearly all demographics and ideologies believe their system of government does not work, said the Times. We all think that now, whether you're on the right, the left, in the middle, a radical, an anarchist, a traditionalist, a progressivist, you recognize that government doesn't work anymore. They know that, and they know you know that. What they're trying to prevent is the natural evolution of those ideas. Hang on, we need different systems of government now, don't we? Why are we living with ideas that are hundreds of years old when we now have the technology to live more democratically? The only way to prevent the natural evolution of the way that power and community works is to bludgeon us with misinformation, to destroy and smear leaders in the space and double down on authoritarianism, censorship, surveillance, control. In this instance, the media and the government have the same interest, the preservation of the old model, to prevent it dying. It's being continually defibrillated because actually it's dying. And you can see that very clearly in the figure of Joe Biden. An old octogenarian dying model is being trotted out for another 4 years when whoever we are, left or right, we know it's over. In the censorship industrial complex, the political establishment finally found a solution to the problem that plagued it for 20 years. Stripped of their erstwhile ability to control events by concentrating its massive influence on a handful of well-positioned producers, editors, reporters, and media executives, the political elite found new gatekeepers to replace those it had lost. The executives who run the tech platforms can't control the content of the news, but they can restrict our ability to see it. And that's exactly what's happening now. Tucker was an anomaly, an outlier. Whether you think he's racist or you don't like him, or whether you love him and think he's the next Jesus, what you have to accept is he was out of step with the cadence of ordinary mainstream rhetoric. That's why I predict he'll find himself in an independent news space now, perhaps with more power than ever, simply because our state systems, our systems of government, our systems of media, our systems of finance are dying because of our new technological and communication power, thanks to the geniuses that came up with these amazing devices and tools. We now can communicate collectively, individually, democratically. There's no reason for the degree of centralized power that we've had for the last century when we have new models and new possibilities. We have to investigate them together. We have to demand them. It is our democratic right. We shouldn't be pinioned between two parties that ultimately work for the same elite financial and corporate organizations anymore. Demand democracy, demand freedom, demand independent media. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the comments below. If you enjoyed this video, have a look at either of these. Turn on the notification bell. We need you. We rely on you. We are in an open dialogue with you. More important than any of that, though, is that you please, if you can, stay free.
Okay. I know that was a little long. That was a little long, but I'd love your opinion. Let's start with Lily since Elizabeth's going to go on with the good news report right after.
Yeah, it was good to listen to. I like that guy. He's hilarious. And I agree, you know, like people who weren't already questioning the validity of their government and tyrannical measures that our government has made arguably since before 9/11, but especially after it, you know, I think did wake up on a different level during the pandemic, you know, like because they watched everybody become censored for asking questions. Like in the beginning, we were not even, you know, like necessarily saying that it wasn't real, right? Like we were asking about the validity of the masks and whether or not they actually would be helpful, as we realize they're not, right? Or
right.
Things like that. And we were completely silenced and canceled and, you know, in some cases punished. A lot of people lost their jobs, their livelihoods. You know, they had local businesses that were canceled by people simply because the government and the media told them that we were Nazis and white supremacists and hated their grandmothers and wanted all of them to die.
Right.
You
Isn't
know,
weird,
and so I don't know how
cares.
You watch that happen live and still trust your government, right? Or still argue that we do have free speech and censorship does not exist in this country.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And isn't it a little weird now that nobody cares how grandma died? Like here, I mean, it's not that, that long after, but you know, before, like grandma, like we had to stay in our houses and clean our groceries and wear, you know, the more the masks, the better, you know, and you're not allowed to go in certain places unless you got vaccinated and all of these things because of grandma. Kids aren't allowed to go to school because of grandma. All of these things. Now nobody gives a shit how grandma died. Nobody.
Well, and nobody ever cared. What really upset me was that nobody ever cared that people like Newsom and Murphy and other governors were intentionally having so-called COVID patients being sent to nursing homes with everyone's grandma, and that was okay. But
right.
Isolating elderly people from all of their friends and family. I had an elderly friend on Facebook who happened to be in a nursing home, and they locked her in her room because she didn't want the vaccine, and they wouldn't allow her to leave, like to leave her room to eat meals, to talk to anyone, nothing. And she was devastated, you know, and they took her phone from her for a while. Like nobody ever cared about any of that. And then had the audacity to tell me that I, who was talking about these things, didn't care about their grandmother. You
right.
know,
and
like that was infuriating. But now the more infuriating, well, now the more infuriating part to me too is, nobody's caring how 10-year-old and 8-year-old and 5-year-old children are dying, right? Like, oh, they just die suddenly, and that just happens sometimes. Because in the history of my life, I've never heard of that happening, and I worked in the medical field for 12 and a half years.
Yeah.
You know, and like that didn't happen. Children didn't just suddenly die, aside from like infants having SIDS once in a while, which we know is actually a vaccine injury.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody wants to do a study on that. And, you know, I just rewatched you know the show House MD, like from back,
yeah.
like that obnoxious doctor, yeah. And so I just rewatched that, and although the show is very like, he makes fun of mothers who didn't vaccinate for the measles and shit like that, you know, he took the cases that were anomalies, like, you know, very rare cases, right? And so several times in the show, you know, over the, you know, 6 to 8 years or whatever that it was on air, there were a few cases of, you know, heart attacks in children. And House took these cases because they were so incredibly rare. And,
right.
you know, and so now here we are on the other side of it, and they're trying to get us to believe that this is just, you know, it happens, and we need to have defibrillators in all of the schools, and you know, and it's a normal thing, and you know, myocarditis.
And sudden adult death syndrome is real.
Sad, very sad. Yep. Okay. Anyway, all right. Well, that was depressing. Why don't we jump right into the good news report if Elizabeth is ready?
Well, absolutely. And I'm going to try to fill a big lady's shoes with this. And as she always does, I'm going to lead in with what we were just talking about. The medical field and what has been found to be their part in this grand crime. We've got whistleblowers coming out talking about the same thing you just were talking about. They had to leave the field because what they were watching was criminal. What they knew they were doing, the treatment for this, and they're coming out and they're talking about it now, after the fact. I think a lot of people are in shock, actually, over how many grandmas did die, how many mothers died. I have so many friends. My mother included. We followed the rules. They wouldn't let us. It was almost we really should have stormed the nursing home and pulled her out of there. But in the back of your mind, she's being taken care of. Nope, she's being killed, as everybody else was, systematically, to push this diabolical government psyop. I'm looking for my telegram channel. Here we go. And the first whistleblower case, it came from Alpha News. And we're going to see if this opens up. Doing my best impression of your mom. and live with your mom.
I know, right?
So this is
damn it,
Gail,
open up.
Gail, this is not as easy. I'm just like, No, this is not as easy to do this because this depends on my Wi-Fi, how quick it will open, and it opened well. So this is from Alpha Independent, Gail McCrae. She said she wanted to trust organizations like the CDC and the AMA, but she came to believe the practices and protocols they were mandating equated to medical murder. This is April 18th this year. She was a California nurse, and she turned whistleblower. She was fired for refusing to take the COVID-19 shot. She joined Liz Collin this week to discuss what she witnessed while working in healthcare during the pandemic. In a nutshell, she saw basically no traffic of patients until 2021. She was even getting laid off. We don't need you. We don't have enough patients. When she came back in, she was seeing too many code blues. She was seeing too many people getting treated with the remdesivir, withheld. This is, I think that it comes from the combination. It's the remdesivir. It's the isolation of the parents. It's weeks on end with, you know, no access to food and water. Yeah, they basically starved our people in these hospitals, nursing homes. It was medical murder. I walked away feeling like I had participated in medical murder. I don't know whether or not this is going to be pursued. This is the class action lawsuit that, you know, everyone who's still kind of like in shock of what happened, there's just so many of them. And it's like, I think deep down inside, we kind of let it happen. This wouldn't have happened if we really would have been wanting our parents to come home, wanting to take care of our older parents. That was a rough, hard job. It was easier to keep them where they were. It's easier to tell yourself that's where they need to be. No, that's not where they needed to be because they killed them. I think as people come out of that group mass denial that they had something to do with it, that, you know, getting over that and then to point the finger to the governors. Well, the governors don't care. But there needs to be, you know, as these, this woman's not the first one, not the first nurse. There's going to be more. They're coming out. It will be I'm sure there will be an investigation once they stop investigating. Yes. They have so
Let me just interrupt really quick. I just have some breaking news. While you're looking up your next one,
my mom
just said that she tried to call in, but T-Mobile says that the number is out of her plan and it's charging her a 1 cent per minute.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me.
Both of you. Asshole.
Yeah.
God.
So, well, I think they're trying to dissuade us from doing this. Their first line of attack, perhaps.
It's a hit job.
A pocketbook. It could be, but it's okay. It's well worth it. So my next one, and I tell her, you know, I think it's $1.80. I think it's $2. I don't know. Penny a minute? That's not that bad. So the next one, we got doctors who were bribed for COVID incentives to do this. And it's kind of like, it's what we knew, but it's just slowly coming out. I roll my eyes at this, but this is like, okay, maybe there is a little bit of justice in the world. A judge orders Hunter Biden to appear in Arkansas paternity court hearings. Hunter Biden must appear in all court hearings concerning his Arkansas paternity case, including one scheduled for Monday, May 1st, in Independence County. Circuit Judge Holly Mayer ruled on Monday. So, you know, there is no skirting the law sometimes. And this seems to be the boy that is the Teflon Don. So he's going to be in court. And if anything, perhaps he will have to take care of his children. Shame on him, huh? I thought that was good news. We've got here's one I thought about your mom when I saw this. This is in Richmond, Virginia. Two Transportation Security Administration officers were in the middle of a security operation at Virginia's Richmond International Airport when they quickly jumped into action after seeing an airplane pilot die suddenly and collapse, and the pilot suffered cardiac arrest. So these guys were on the job and saved a terrible situation. We have so many pilots that are suddenly having these cardiac arrests in the middle of their job, and I know that there's a lawsuit against this that's being handled in court, but I thought that was a good feel-good kind of that could have been a terrible tragedy, another plane go down because of that. And here, ABC and Rasmussen reports. I like how they like to spin things sometimes. The ABC News treats their viewers like children, chops what it calls false claims from interview, thus boosting Kennedy's rise in approval as a candidate. That was from Rasmussen reports on Twitter. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. They're trying to pretend he doesn't exist. It's going to be Trump and Biden. But I think this is going to backfire. Just like all the things that they're doing. Everything that they do seems to backfire. And that's kind of an interesting dynamic. And the fact that they can't create, they can't execute a project because they just don't think these things through. So that was another interesting point. Jeffrey Epstein is in the news. And what does a Rothschild, a Goldman Sachs top lawyer, and a CIA agent have in common? Aside from rigging the stock market, sucking the life out of the debt slaves, tax mules, and dismantling Main Street, destroying society, perpetrating a PSYOP 19, and all of the various other crimes against humanity, they also happen to have been on Epstein's child trafficking program. This came from... there's too many letters in this. I don't know what station this was from, but this was this story slowly coming, opening up the who's who in the Jeffrey Epstein. Have you guys looked into Whitney Webb yet?
Oh,
have
yeah.
You guys checked out her? Did you get her book?
I have not gotten her book, but I've been following her for years.
Well, she's blown this story up. This leaks into Jamie Dimon, the bank rise and fall, the bank bailouts of 2008. This is money connected to Epstein. This, you know, this is why we're not getting the crumbs and the connect the dots. It is the who's who of the crime family network who opens and runs the banks. And in each takedown, when each bank system fell, I believe it was George W. and Obama bailed out the banks, right? So he had two different keep the country from hitting a depression, bail those banks out. Jamie Dimon, he was the one that always stayed. And he's now the one that's in the hot seat. It's interesting, but they're giving the little fish are being thrown under the bus right now. And that's coming out. And I think we talked about. Did we talk about? Oh, no, it was on the air. We already talked about the what was on the wall behind Tucker, and he's really a good guy. This one, okay.
Yes.
This is my favorite one. This is from. I don't know who this is from. Some Twitter page of some sort. This is on Naomi Wolf, the greatest crime against humanity in history. Revelations from Pfizer's vaccine documents. 11 revelations. Number one, Pfizer knew their gene-based injections had negative efficacy as early as November of 2020. Shortly after the release of the COVID injection, Pfizer, I'm moving, they're chasing me out of the room. Too good to be true. I can't be in the living room. I've got to go back into my little cave. So shortly after the release of the COVID injections, Pfizer moved to hire. Now, this was my fave. They're like the IRS. They needed 2,400 full-time employees to process the paperwork of the injured. 3, Pfizer and the FDA withheld information that the shots caused heart damage in the youth for four months, while an aggressive propaganda campaign drove many thousands to get injected. 4, rather than staying in the injection site, Pfizer knew the shot's dangerous lipid nanoparticles quickly distribute through the body to the brain, the liver, and the adrenals, and accumulate in the ovaries. 5, Pfizer documents acknowledge more than 42,000 adverse events, including 1,200 deaths, in just the first 3 months, including strokes, hemorrhages, blood clots, lung clots, leg clots, neurological disorders, dementia, Guillain-Barré, Bell's palsy, myalgia, and more. 6, prior to it being legal, more than 1,000 children were injected. And do you remember that on TV, part of that propaganda? All the nurses were having their children step up and be live test subjects. Do you remember that? I don't think I remember that,
but it doesn't surprise me at all.
It was the saddest thing. It was on Good Morning America. It was on CNN. It's kind of like, it reminded me of a World War II, you know, buy bonds movement for the war. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is disgusting. What sane person would sacrifice your child for medical science for the greater of the country and the world? I'm going to let him take the first child. Like he was going to space. It was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
RFK Jr. said something about that. He said that no nation, I'm paraphrasing, but like no nation in the world, no culture in the world has ever sacrificed the children to save the elderly. It's always the other way around,
exactly.
Except for us.
Exactly.
And here's the other one, is that we don't even allow pregnant women to eat room temperature lunch meat, but they're going to be test subjects for an experimental vaccine. All right, go ahead.
They can have an injection while they're pregnant of something that we don't know. We won't know. Those were the words. We won't know till we find out, will we? Trust Fauci, Lord God Fauci. Yeah, so 7, available records of study participants who conceived children show 80% lost their babies. 8, Pfizer knew there were danger to the fertility. Lipid nanoparticles damaged the placenta during the pregnancy, causing early deliveries. They knew that. Pfizer docs show that the lipid nanoparticles also enter breast milk, stunting, injuring, and sometimes killing babies. That's awful. 10, Pfizer docs show 3-to-1 of AEs sustained by women. What would AEs be, my smart little friend?
AAE?
No. AE. Sustained by women. 16% reproductive disorders. What kind of a monster looks at 16% reproductive disorders and keeps going? 13-20% drop in live births. Pfizer facts show 3-to-1 of AEs sustained by women. AEs. I don't know.
Yeah, what is that? Lily, any guesses?
I don't know.
Something emergency? I'm not sure.
Aortic. Anyways, it was abortions. Abortions. These children were aborted prematurely is what was happening. There was a 20% drop in live births. 11, and this came from their docs. Pfizer documents are being released that they knew all of these things. And to this day, they still have the commercials that they are safe and effective, and they're the only way to fight the new deadly strain, Omicron. Now, the acronym Omicron, I'm going around in my head. I'm like, is that ironic or is that moronic? What would it spell? They didn't want to go back to the Delta. They didn't want to go back to the COVID. Now it's the Omicron that's hitting us. And that's what I'm getting on my propaganda station, which has the most lovely gentleman to listen to, WGN. It's like one of those feel-good AM radio stations everyone grew up with. And the morning show it's the call-in show for the doctor. And the host proudly said, I am fully vaccinated and I'm fully boosted. And I didn't get anything but a sore arm. They know that people are concerned about these side effects. They know people are dying, and they still have the audacity to play it off as, well, you're just kind of like a pussy because my arm hurts and I'm, you know, I'm saving the world here.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah.
It made me sick. It really made me sick. I'm like, I just can't listen to this. I don't care what. I'll sit in silence in the house instead. But that's still going on. That was this morning. Brought to you by Pfizer is the WGN morning show with whatever the guy's name is.
Well, okay, so
11,
there, just really quick.
Documents revealed
there's something that is a proprietary trade secret that makes it so they don't, even if it's going to hurt somebody, they don't have to tell them because of this concept of proprietary trade secrets. Just like Roundup hid behind proprietary trade secrets for years. Yeah, all right. I just wanted to fill in a little
blank. Well, here's the last one. So this is the selling point of this vaccine, probably, is a eugenics in a population control system. Pfizer documents reveal that the LNPs degrade baby boys in the utero and the testes of fetal baby boys and damaging the serotonin cells and the Leydig cells, which are basically the factories of masculinity. So basically, yeah, you get rid of the little boys. You don't have little babies anymore without little boys if they can't grow up. So that is what the documents are from Pfizer show, and that was being brought out again by Naomi Wolf, and she's on tour right now. She's on tour, speaking engagements. Bobby Kennedy is getting out of his basement because it was deplatformed and doing live videos on Facebook from his basement. He did one with Alec Baldwin and Alec's wife during the pandemic. And then Alec went off and did this movie, and then he got set up and almost went to prison. Bobby, on the other hand, decides he's going to risk his life to run for presidency. But they're both out. Naomi and Bobby would do a show together, and it would only be on, like, Rumble or – what's the other one? Anyways, one of these – it wasn't Facebook. And it wasn't the green one. So maybe it was Rumble.
Rumble?
BitChute or Rumble. Well, something that came through somebody who had money, watched it and shared it with the rest of us, and we all got to watch it and share it on Facebook. But they were great. And I'm like, they had a session together, and they said, where is the traditional liberals? Where are the liberals? And this is while New York is under lockdown. They can't go anywhere and do anything. They're all looking at each other. There's something is wrong here. We're on the second year of Nazi Germany, can't go outside to play. Where are the liberals speaking out against the running over of our civil liberties and our rights? And they were both were aghast at what was allowed to happen. But they were like two crickets in the basement. Nobody wanted to hear them. Now they're out on tour. Whether or not he makes the DNC ticket or even gets a nod that you can come play politics with us, he's out trying to talk, and she's out on the tour. But they're both great, you know, eloquent, intelligent individuals who are not Trump supporters and are speaking out on the horrors of this government overreach of medical tyranny. And they're both my rock stars. So I was glad to see that she's out on a stage speaking and getting paid for it because she's amazing. So that was my good news report of the day. I don't have quite the stations that Carla does, so I don't know what's going on in the world of politics. From what I've seen, we had Jim Jordan, who I love, was taking the Democratic Party to arms over their stance on trying to rip the guns out of our arms. And he was trouncing them. That clip is a three-hour clip, and I didn't know if you could – how many sound bites there were in there, but I know that right off the bat, You had your Democratic senator who wanted to put in the record that he did not think that those terrible remarks against the Mr. Fauci, who's been a lifelong public servant to the state. And I was like, oh my gosh, how these people can still defend this man after we've seen, everybody knows someone who's died suddenly after being vaccinated. I have 3, 4, 5 people that have had kids that have, now they have 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 7-year-olds that don't have a mother because the mom died in their sleep when they're 30 after they've been vaccinated.
Yeah, nobody
nurses.
Cares. Nobody
Everybody
cares.
Everybody has somebody who's died. How can anyone with a straight face sit and defend this man and not be like, God, we fucked up. We fucked up on this, guys. That should
right.
be everybody's attitude. And instead, it's not. And instead, they're like, you know, you can't have long guns. Long guns in Illinois, in New York are bad. And at the same time, they want these robotic dogs to come in. And it's like, that's why they want to take your long guns away, because when the robots come, you're going to need a long gun.
Yeah, right.
But
well, no,
you
don't need long guns.
In Illinois, we almost got our guns taken away, and we had a class action lawsuit that was getting struck down. We had to be part of the class action lawsuit in order to be able to buy a gun. And I just thought,
well, okay, but I got to tell you.
So anyway,
you don't need long guns to take out the – you don't need long – okay, can I talk? Is that cool? Can I talk for a second? You don't need long guns to take out the robots. All you need is a super soaker filled with barbecue sauce. Don't ask me how I know.
Patent that and make $1 billion. That sounds fun.
Because it's coming.
A little messy, but fun. That'll be a new case.
Exactly.
So anyways, we had a federal judge say, no, this is not to be. So everyone in Illinois is encouraged to go out and buy guns because you now legally can. And I thought, well, that's a work of some strange magic there, because they were so close to taking our guns away in Illinois. And I wonder how long this is going to last. But that's the new fight. And so they lost. They lost that one in Illinois. Hopefully it will become a trend that Americans can defend themselves as the Constitution states. That would be nice. So that was the last part of the good news, was that we won our lawsuit, and we didn't have to pay the attorney fees because we're just Americans living under the Constitution once again, for the moment, in Illinois.
Awesome.
What else?
All right. Well, thank you so much for the good news. Lily, do you have anything? Any questions, comments?
I appreciate you doing the good news report, Elizabeth, since Carla couldn't do it today. I thought you did a really good job. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I see good news and bad news in all of it. You know what I mean? Like, everything that is bad news, you know, like, brings us closer to prophecy, which is good in that way. But also, you know, I'm not trying to wake any more people up anymore, but I think that it's a positive thing when people can start to wake up on their own, you know, like they can see something
right.
that comes through. Like my
right.
stepdad is a good example for me. He thinks that I'm insane, and he's just really resistant to stuff that I say. So when I tell him things, you know, like, he's not going to listen. But if he can hear it on the media or from another person, you know, it's more that's saying the same thing that I am. It's more likely for him to be able to, like, fit that into his brain and understand what's happening. And so in that way, you know, like, I think that all of it is good. But really this week I'm trying very, very hard to not be agitated with a lot of it, because I have been feeling, like, really frustrated and agitated, especially with this erasure of women that is happening. Well, like, natural, real women. Anyway, that is happening.
Yes.
It frustrates me at a pretty core level.
Mm-hmm. And that's not being talked about. Not very well. You know, in the news today, they wanted Oh, we want to protect women's rights under the guise of that health service of having the abortion pill. And I thought, well, which women? All women? Can you imagine, you know, the transgender community, you know, crying out that they can't get an imaginary abortion? It's like, at what point are you going to take any of this serious? Make it, this is life-threatening. You are offending all women and everything that we fought for. Every law that they passed to protect our rights, our equality, and they're just throwing it out the window. And nobody wants to have that conversation. And it's, I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's good.
It's
really frustrating. I accidentally saw a post from that Dylan CIA agent guy today, and it was like a live stream. I don't know. I can't watch him. His face agitates my soul. But it was some live stream that I muted, but I was looking at some of the comments, and it was like all of these women, like actual natural-born women, who were like defending his right to pretend to be a woman. And my only issue is, you know, like dress however you want, say that you're whatever you want, but why can they not come up with like their own term for themselves that's not a woman or a man, right? And I don't see the level of erasing men from trans women that became men happening at the extent that I see it with women, right? Like, I mean, every single person who won an award for being a woman this year was in fact a man dressed up as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, can respect their pronouns, I suppose, and I can do all of these things. If they stop calling me cis, because I will choose violence if you step to my face and call me that word. And if they stop, you know, like trying to steal all of our spaces.
I think she's saying S-I-S instead of, or C-I-S instead of
S-I-S. Like, I don't want to be called a cisgendered woman. Like, that's ridiculous. I'm just the OG woman. Right. Like, that's what I am, and that's how I will be referred. And I am tired of these people thinking that they can create labels for us, you know, like, but how dare we have any kind of a label for them? And so my issue is have a third bathroom, have a third sports league, you know, like have a third term, but stop taking our space, right? Like it's this inherent misogynistic thing that because you're a man, you can throw your weight around and take up whatever space you want. You know, and like nobody is identifying as transracial because that doesn't fit the agenda. But we can be trans women, you know? Like, I'm just tired of it.
Not yet.
It's not a retirement plan. Being trans is not a retirement plan for male athletes who do not fit.
It could be.
Well, it is. That's what they're trying to turn it into. You know, that Leah Thomas person was, like, ranked 400th in men's sports. And now he's crushing everything in women's sports. Like, this is a mockery.
Right. Well, and the best meme I've seen is a grown, I think, like, it might have even been Pete Rose at a T-ball game, hitting it, just crushing it. I identify as a six-year-old boy. And it's like, of course, you know, like, that just nailed it home. A grown man wants to play with a little boy game. Of course. Is it fair?
Well, and that's what it's leading to, Elizabeth. I don't know if you saw, but the United Nations just ruled that pedophilia is a human right that should not be prosecuted or criminalized. That's where all this trans junk is leading to. It's leading to you can be anything you want, regardless of logic and regardless of anybody's eyeballs or knowledge. And now it's okay to involve the children in all of this because we're grooming them, and it's okay that 86% of people who have top or bottom surgery commit suicide within 3 years. That's all okay because now they can scoop up the children, which is what they've always wanted. And what are we going to do? Well, I know personally for me, I will choose violence if you come after my child or any child that I see in my vicinity. That's what will happen. And I think that that's what we all need to like stand up and actually, you know, like act on and say, like, if I see you harming a child in my eyesight, I am going to directly get rid of you and save that child, you know, like, because then they will not, this is the only reason for the agenda. It's not because they care about trans people. If they did, they wouldn't butcher their bodies for money, You know, like, and it's mm-hmm. not that I hate trans people either. I have no problem with trans people. My problem is, you know, like, there's got to be balance and equality. And if you are taking up all of the space and nobody else can have a voice, then where is the balance and equality? You know, like, we've just gotten rid of it. And so I'm not right. advocating for anyone to be mean to trans people or harmful to them. But I do want them, you know, like, to think about what their behavior is doing to themselves, to society, to other people. And I need them to figure out why it is that they need the acceptance of small children. Like, why is that important to them and why do they care? Because I think that if they can start to answer those questions for themselves, they will realize that they're being manipulated and used as a part of a very nefarious agenda to actually go after and mutilate and harm children. The very same children that they say, like, protect trans children's lives, well, you know, like, you are directly harming their lives. And I think that we need to start having mm-hmm. some difficult conversations about that.
Yes. All right. Mm-hmm. Two things on that. Number one, I just sent a fire meme in the Seeds of Change group chat. And the second thing is, what if we took this out of the realm of identifying when it comes to sex? Like you said, you know, there's a line. There's not transracial. You know, if I came out as a strong black woman, there would be some pushback, right? So that's really what we're talking about, though, is that, you know, is this a person who can have children? Is this a person who can? There are certain biological facts that need to be denied in order to keep this delusion going. You know, 1,000 years from now, when you look up bones, when you see bones, skeletons, we know what is a male and what is a female. Why? It has nothing to do with their opinion, right? And the last point that I'll make is, what if your child came to you and said, I identify as a pirate? Are we going to poke their eye out, and, you know, so that we can
cut
give them
a leg
pack,
and give them a peg.
Cut off their leg? Are we going to do that stuff? Are we going to support their
Absolutely.
Hopes and dreams? Because we've always known our child was a pirate.
You're the bastards in this story. You know, if it's brought to you by Pfizer and Big Pharma is the what's the word? Sponsor? Of the news and sponsor of the government.
Yeah, by Pfizer.
The Matrix is brought to you by Pfizer. Who's running the world right now? All of these people. These people don't come just out of Colorado or Nebraska or New Jersey. No, they're actors that are paid actors to do this shit to push a product. This is not just some organic combustion from the gay community. Talk to gay people. They're like, what the fuck? We worked so fucking hard to get away from you crazy fucking people. We don't want to be equated with leather and craziness. We want to have rights.
Well, some
we
of them
live
do.
Like normal people.
But just, you know
well,
what, honestly, I don't care
people.
If you're into
most
leather. Just stay the fuck away from the children. I'm sorry.
But this is an embarrassment. But it's not organic. My point is most people are not like this. This is a entertainment, Disneyland, Happy Meal kind of program that this mindless population will see on TV and, oh, I got to get it. I consume.
Right.
But it's coming
True.
From big corporations that want you to be their customers, because once you have reassignment surgery, you have to go and get your treatments. You are a customer for life.
I watched,
you know,
or listened to, rather, a really great podcast by a trans man. Well, he was a man, and now he's a, you know, like a eunuch is actually what he refers to himself as. But, and like, that's not me saying that. That's him saying that about himself. And I cannot remember his name, but I'll have to find it and put it in the chat because it was a really phenomenal podcast. And he was talking about how he actually went into therapy as a 17-year-old for OCD. Like, he was, you know, he was just, like, very obsessive compulsive, and he was struggling with it. And that therapist gave him some like trans information, and he started reading some of it and realizing that maybe some of my behaviors and challenges are actually caused by this. And he had no counseling about it. Like, I know, you know, like even 8 years ago, you had to get a surgery. You had to live as the gender that you wanted to be for like 3 years. And you had to like, you know, prove that this is what you actually wanted and have counseling sessions and all of these things. But now you don't have any of that.
Yeah.
You
have to be in counseling. That's a huge thing.
Yeah. And so those people, you know, like were pretty sure that they weren't going to change their mind later. Right. Because they had done this for 3 years. They were happy with it. It's what they wanted. Well, anyway, this boy then, when he was 18, had surgery to become a female, and he said that the surgery was excruciating. It goes wrong like 75% of the time, which obviously they don't tell you beforehand, you know, and he said that now, like, then he suffered from a lot of, like, depression and anxiety and all of these things because of the surgery, and he was in physical pain. He had infections happen, and it was horrible. Mm. And now he's actually stopped taking the hormones that he was taking because he found studies that showed that there's a really aggressive form of dementia that you only get from having all these excess forms of estrogen in your body that you're taking on purpose. And they're seeing people at like 40 and 50 years old having this form of very aggressive dementia where within a year to 2 years, they will not know who they are. And within 3 to 5 years, they're dead. And that really frightened him. And nobody ever told him about that. And then he realized that a lot of the stuff that they were giving, you know, like they were giving him and other people in the same situation as him were the same chemicals that they used to chemically castrate sex offenders in prison. And those have really terrible negative side effects. And so he detransitioned, and there's a huge movement now of people who are starting to detransition because they've realized that they were lied to and used and manipulated, and none of this is what they want. But their voices are being silenced. Like, other trans people are silencing the detransition people. And so we're not getting to hear their voices, you know, and like nobody is covering their story because it doesn't fit anybody's agenda. But we don't even have long-term studies yet of what this does, right? So we know that this has only been, like, these surgeries have only been pushed on children and young adults for not very long now, you know, a couple of years, and we're already seeing these high rates of dementia, 86% suicide rate, all of these other issues that are happening. People's, they're losing, like, their hair is falling out, and they're gaining massive amounts of weight and other having heart problems from some of the chemicals and so-called medicines that they're being given. And nobody is talking about any of that. And it's frustrating because even this man said, you know, like when you start to detransition and you talk about it, nobody will listen. Nobody cares. But also the people who claim that they support trans people and their rights and their freedoms and love them also actively work to silence them. And so there's really nowhere for the detransition people to turn except for each other. And so luckily there's like a growing movement on Twitter, like social media and Reddit and stuff, of people telling the truth because it's banned everywhere, you know. So like you're not going to hear very many podcasts from them, you know, and that's really unfortunate because I think that that is information that anybody who's thinking of transitioning should be given access to, right? Like I don't care if you dress up as a woman, as long as you don't get in my face about making me say chest feeding or birthing person, because I think that that sounds like cattle and it's gross. But don't make me do that, if you don't make women who are natural women who maybe are survivors of rape or sexual assault feel uncomfortable because you are biologically still a man and you're in their bathroom or their locker room and you don't destroy our sports, you know, like I don't care what you call yourself or what you wear. But why are we, like, you know, supporting the mutilation of these people's bodies? You know, like, that's my issue. And I know what it is. It's a satanic agenda to make us all androgynous. Because if you can make humanity androgynous where there is no distinction between female and male, and you get rid of the true life bringers of humans, then it's very easy to get everybody to accept transhumanism. Like, that is the final step that they want, right? As
exactly.
controllable
exactly.
robot humans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our person that we know, Freeman Michaels, was the first person to bring that to my attention. Like, because I was like, what's the, you know, I was still, like, coming out of the spell. And I'm like, well, who cares? You know, who cares about this? Why is this even an issue? And he said exactly that, Lily. And it really made me think. It really actually, like, opened a lot of doors as far as thinking goes. You know, I don't want to say too much. He doesn't approve of me anymore because
right.
I was very anti-mask.
Right.
So that's sad.
That's okay.
But hopefully he'll wake up to it one of these days.
It will, you know, with time. I had a friend, we were such good friends, and then just something really stupid, just stupid, pissed him off. And then he died. And I was like,
that's really sad.
God. But he was so mad at me. He was so mad at me as such an asshole. I go, he was such an asshole. And we were such good friends. And my mom says, in time, you would have been friends again. But there just wasn't enough time. Because, you know,
and
things come
and things
go.
And that's the saddest of all, right? That's the saddest scenario of all, right? Is that you have a friend and you lose them. And you were, you know, after they've divorced you in some way, you know. And
They did. And it's like you just, it's sad.
It's sad.
Something's over
and
hurt
for,
feelings, you know.
My knowledge, Freeman's still alive, so hopefully we can patch it up one day because, like, honestly, I don't really want to have bad blood with anybody.
Right. Right. And you never know. And here's the big thing about drugs and pharmacia. Pharmaceutical companies make the drugs, and the pharmaceutical companies have gotten their little hands into your marijuana supply. Everyone thinks it's so great, but it's brought to you by Pfizer. And it messes their
and Bayer.
It's like they don't act right. And it's like, oh my God. You know, go have your little hits of it. But you're like, you gotta be like, they are under a spell. They're under the influence of a drug. So you kind of like got to cut them some slack.
We have a caller, and I just so you guys know, I put out a little announcement on Facebook that we were having a really, like, awesome conversation about transgender, and it looks like we've got a caller that might be from my post. They're listening, but, like, I don't know. Like, maybe we should, like, get back to transgender. Yeah. But
we'll
go
be
ahead.
Nice. We won't embarrass you.
No. Okay, so this is what I have to say about transgender. I've said this before. I think that, as you know, from a very young age, we're put into tiny boxes, right? And those boxes are, you know, blue or pink or, you know, very, you know, and there aren't very many of them. But the blue and pink is definitely something that we are put into, right? And so, you know, little boys play with G.I. Joes and little girls play with Barbies. Little girls learn how to bake and clean. Boys play sports. You know, these kind of gender roles are what need to be destroyed, right? You can have a man who can bake. You can have a woman who can play sports. These are the ones that psychologically, I believe, that are putting the most strain and making, you know, these individuals depressed and, you know, suicidal in a way, because, you know, at the end of the day, this is the society and, you know, the parental structure that raises a child have, you know, also had these, ancestral, generational boxes put on them, right? Coincidentally, also the boxes that lead us to red and blue in elections are the ones that start with pink and blue. You know, at birth, we only get two. We only get certain boxes that we can belong to. And so I really encourage everybody to separate gender identity with sexual orientation when we're talking about children. That's really, like, and so that's why I'm opposed to the drag queen story hours and those kind of things, is because, teachers talking to my children about sex right? I don't need my kindergartner, first grader, second grader to know about bedroom activities, right? That and it seems there's a war on our children that stems from people who were pissed off that they had to play with G.I. Joes or Barbies. But let's just be real. G.I. Joes lead to war. Barbies lead to, you know, a bad personal aesthetic, you know, outlook on themselves, right? There's all of these things that can be blamed, you know, some of these societal problems we can blame on way other things. Gender shouldn't even be part of the mix. You know, it should be, you know, we should have other conversations about, you know, how children discipline, you know, little Bobby for playing with a GI, for playing with a Barbie, right? Yeah. For putting on mom's heels. These kind of things should not be, you know, a traumatic event. But I think that previous generation programming, you know, parents say, ah, what are you doing? You're not gay. You know, why are you wearing heels, right? That's intertwining these concepts. Right. And I think that maybe if we can get down to the base root of that and stop putting children in, you know, people in boxes from childhood, maybe we can actually fix this. Right now, all we're doing is chopping off children's body parts and being basically a walking Pfizer commercial. All right. I'm getting off my soapbox now.
Well, you're good on that. But don't you think that those stereotypes, those got broken away quite a long time ago. You've got girls that are playing football in high school. Like my friend, they sued for her daughter to play football and won. She was the first one. And it's kind of like, oh, Jesus. Because maybe they didn't have girls football. But now it's like, okay, if she can keep up and she's not going to get hurt. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. But now we have a whole league for women.
There aren't any barriers. There's no more barriers. There's no more rules or anything. I think actually we need to start focusing on good manners. See, nobody wants to see your dick. Don't send dick pics. Close the door when you go to the bathroom. Have some decency, some respect, some rules of decorum. Nobody needs to
say real quick.
Even
adults
don't want to know about
yourself,
let alone children. It's kind of like, what do you want to be when you grow up? No. Being a different gender. No. Once you're another animal, I saw a furry the other day for the first time. They walk around in pajamas. I was like, oh my god, it's a big onesie pajama like they're a dog. 15-year-old. They're a furry. They're not even a fucking functioning human being. I was like, wow. But
so where does it come from?
Said,
you know,
if you're going to be a boy, it comes from the schools. It comes from the parents. It comes from YouTube for it, or the TikTok with the cartoons. It's programming. Somebody's programming our kids with this bullshit, and the parents
parents. But I also think that there's a lot of parenting that needs to be addressed. You know, the collar's gone.
Yeah.
So, but
I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, but I think there's a lot of people who felt this kind of oppression as a child and then grew up and had children and then push their, you know, trying to fix their own childhood traumas on their child. Right. So that's why you see a lot of these people as like 2 years, you know, they've got 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old children. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, little Jane wants to be a Jack, and we were watching for the signs and all of these things. And I really do believe that in a lot of those situations, the parents' childhood trauma pushed onto their child, that is Munchausen's by proxy. Look it up; it's a psychological condition.
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, just look at Jazz Jennings and his insane parents, you know, like.
I don't know who that is, but.
He's a TV star that they forced basically to transition as a very young child to be trans. And now, I mean, I just saw a segment Matt Walsh mm-hmm. did about him where, you know, poor Jazz never watched the show, but where poor Jazz is like bawling and saying that he just wants to feel like himself and he can't. Well, he's had 4 bottom surgeries by now. You go, like, that's how so would funny. You feel like yourself? And he's been indoctrinated since birth to be this other person that he's not, you know? Like, how do you reconcile that within yourself, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
And now you can go to Minnesota at any – I think you have to be, like – I don't know if there is even an age requirement. If you can get to Minnesota by yourself, you can have gender, quote-unquote, gender-affirming surgery without parental consent or knowledge.
Same in California, mm-hmm. I think.
Same here in Illinois.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Yep. Federal money. It's extra money. Anytime there's federal money, free money, that the corruption will step up and they'll do it. We'll build it. Give us the money. Yeah, it's very disgusting. Very disgusting. What they will not do for money. And out the other side of their mouth. It's for the children's mental health. What kind of society espouses this kind of things?
And to, Lily's earlier point.
They don't want them to have a productive life. Once they've changed into whatever they want to change into, it's kind of almost like, then what? What are you going
to
do?
Yeah.
But that's not
but to Lily's earlier point about the suicide rate after transgender, it's like, That is kind of it's a pretty skewed statistic because virtually all of the people who are going through transgender surgeries are getting approved because mm-hmm. their mental health is so bad, right? And so it's like, okay, so we've got somebody who was, let's just say a completely different subject, depressed because it was not sunny enough where they lived. Right. And then they move to a place mm-hmm. like California or Florida where there's plenty of sun mm-hmm. and they still end up killing themselves. These are people who are deeply, in need of healing. And so they think that just changing the environment is going to be the thing that gets them out of this depression. But, you know, so to apply that to transgender, it's like, you know, no wonder there's a high suicide rate because, you know, the system touts this as a win because so say that there's a 70% suicide rate with transgender people. Well, there was an 80% suicide rate of people beforehand, right? So they're like, yay, 10% less. I think we've got our friend John Michael with us. I'm going to unmute him.
Cool.
Hello,
hello. Hello, hello.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Well, hi. How are you? I'm doing real good. How are you?
I'm enjoying my Sunday. Enjoying my conversation with my crew. How are you,
so did you have some thoughts on this subject, John Michael?
I just caught the tail end of what you were saying, so, you know, I have lots of opinions about this particular subject. None of which mm-hmm. might be popular among my brethren in the alphabet soup movement. None of them are probably very popular, but I do have opinions on this subject.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Let's hear them.
Well, what do you want to know? What do you want to know first? I don't support, how do I put this kindly? Because I really don't want anyone to think that I'm, like, not taking their motive seriously. Like, I think that the transgender movement has gone way too far in a lot of ways. First of all, with children, right? I don't think that any child knows what they really want at a young age. And having children take hormones and having them have assignment surgeries before they're even fully developed as human beings, I think is, like, pretty dangerous, or I would assume should be pretty dangerous, right?
Right.
Logically, yes.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of like one of those things. But I also taught in the classroom with transgender students, and it's like definitely interesting environment. But I don't know what you want to know specifically. I think that, a lot of things, it's kind of weird watching the world nowadays, too, be like very militantly, like, accept who I am. And I'm like, well, that's not how the world works, right? I mean, I wish the world accepted you for who you are. I wish whatever that might be, as long as you're not hurting anybody. But that's not generally the way that the world works. And seeing people get, like, mm-hmm. their lives and their careers ruined because they don't support certain things or they don't follow certain things. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, though, I don't think it's – I'm not one of those people who's like, I'm not going to call you by your proper pronoun. If you want me to call you a freaking octopus, then I guess I'll call you an octopus. I'll think it's stupid the whole time, but I'll go ahead and do that for you if it's going to make you, you know, feel better about yourself. But then again, why does what I say contingent upon you feeling a certain way about yourself? That's not – again, that's not how the world works. Right?
Right.
Or it shouldn't be. Or
that analogy.
Or like, I don't know.
Further
that,
than
you
analogy,
know, some...
Yeah, absolutely. And further that analogy, you know, sure, I'll call you an octopus, but I'm not going to let, you know, you put your tentacles on my ass.
You'll make believe tentacles. Can I ask you a question? Do you remember when children didn't kill themselves, people didn't, like, commit suicide, like they were changing their shoes? There was a time when this wasn't a thing.
Right.
Our society was not like this. And something has changed and prompted this behavior, almost encouraged it. Because if you didn't think about it, we're going to let you think about it, and it's going to be something you're going to do. That's how
I think that has to do with abuse and trauma in childhood.
Yeah. It's induced. It's induced and encouraged. And,
yeah.
And seeing what they're doing with this agenda – almost.
I do remember people killing themselves. Like, I do remember, like, LGBT people, and just clear, like, I'm in that LGBT category, right? Like, I'm one of the, I'm the G specifically. But I think that, yeah, I do remember kids killing themselves. I certainly remember kids, like, being gay in school, having a harder time than people that were not, right? But I also looked back on it, and I was like, okay, but it all made me stronger in the end, right? Having that adversity made me a stronger person. I can't imagine going around and telling everyone when I was in high school, like, I'm a gay male, you have to accept me for who I am, or I'm going to mobilize millions of people that are going to ruin your career and ruin your life. I can't even imagine doing that. Like, that to me, that's like, I can't even imagine that being in the thought process of 17-year-old John Michael. Like, I couldn't even imagine that being in my thought process. Although I kind of, like, part of me laughs because I'm like, I probably would be one of those kids who pulled out their phone and recorded their teacher using the wrong pronouns or whatever the case is. I think it's a lot. I think we have a lot going on with the transgender movement. I think there's a lot going on with people, like, wanting to be angry at each other. And I've talked about that before, though. Like, people want to be angry right now at each other, and they're finding, like, any little excuse to do so.
It's really sad. And
my issue
right.
is still the children, because I remember not even that many years ago taking my children to Pride with me. And during the day, you know, like, it was just a fun family thing, right? Where you just, like, see your friends and people that you love and everybody's happy. And, you know, like, that's what it was. And then about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, they would say that everybody under the age, I think it was even 21, for a while, and then it became 18, but that you had to leave. And that's when they would do, you know, like, whatever they wanted, and it would be, like, adult fun. And now, you know, like, there are videos of, you know, like, drag queens doing stripper pole dances in front of four-year-olds, and I just feel like that is not acceptable, right? And I didn't know any of my gay friends at that time would have freaked the hell out if they had seen people doing that, and they would have been very upset about it, right? And, like, not all of them even wanted to be around children at all, you know? And then the ones that did, like, wanted to protect children. But now some of those same people that I've been friends with for years get upset at me for not supporting that, you know? And it's really interesting, like, all of the brainwashing indoctrination that has gone on, that now you're homophobic if you don't want, you know, like, that kind of dancing in front of small children, or you're transphobic because I think it's terrible that, you know, after bottom surgery, 86% of people kill themselves, and I think that maybe we shouldn't mutilate their bodies. You know, like, it's just very weird.
Yeah.
How
yeah,
dare
for
you
sure.
say that? Yeah, and that's
for sure.
And it's sad. And one other point I would like to make is that, you know, there's, we, as pedophilia, we all know that pedophilia is a colonial secret, and it's been, you know, infiltrated in the pillars of our society. You know, we know that the Catholic Church is full of pedophiles. We know that Boy Scouts has the biggest pedophile database in the world. we know these things, and we see them in Hollywood and in politics, and we're starting to see all of this stuff. You know, the veil is being lifted on all of this stuff, but there is this knee-jerk reaction for people who support the gay community. I'm not going to use all of their letters. Are a knee-jerk reaction to say that no, absolutely not. It is not going on in the community, and if you say it, then you are against us, even if you're a firm member of the community. I don't understand why that's going on. These other organizations that I listed were pillars of the community before. Why in the world would this one particular community be exempt from it? And why are you looking the other way?
That's a good question. I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the stats are on, you know, gay, LGBT, whatever, people that have, like, been subject to abuse. But I would imagine, just going on a limb, that it would be higher than the, you know, average for all sexualities.
Yeah.
I would imagine that it's a little bit more prevalent and a little bit more, you know, so perhaps it's that desire to not want to talk about something that happened to them. Like, it's that knee-jerk reaction of, no, I wasn't molested, right? When really,
yeah,
no, you were, and you need to talk about it. Does that make sense? Like, it's that knee-jerk.
Absolutely.
No, and I think it's that desire to you know, at any cost, to distance and disassociate the LGBT movement from pedophilia at any cost, right? When we do know that there are pedophiles who are LGBT, right? We do know that there have to be, right? Just like there are, I'm sure the overwhelming majority of them are straight, right? Which is what I've seen for stats, right? But I'm sure that there are some who are not, right? And so it's that knee-jerk reaction to want to distance the LGBT movement from pedophilia because of the danger that's associated there, right? And that, and you can kind of understand that on one level, but we don't, just because something makes us uncomfortable doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge that it's there, right? It's like having a tumor. Like, eventually you have to acknowledge that you're not able to eat correctly or you're not able to go to the restroom correctly, whatever it is. You need to acknowledge that something needs to be done, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're getting to, like, tumor level. Huh?
I said, don't look at the growth on my side. His name is Toomey.
Right. No, I think that we're getting to, like, tumor level stuff that's going on. Like, are we really, like, having children fight their parents? Like, there was a case I think I read a couple years ago about the parents weren't even, like, anti the person transitioning. They weren't even anti that. They were okay with it. They just told them, not until you're 18. Like, just not until you're 18, because their argument was pretty simple. Like, we don't mind paying for it. We don't mind that that's what you want to do. We just want to make sure that this is not something that you, who have a history of changing your mind on things, are not going to end up changing your mind, and it's too late to undo that, right?
Right.
And, of course, the person, I want to say the person sued, got emancipated, got emancipated, sued. Did all that, and then I want to say that they ended up wanting to detransition after, so their parents were right. So the parents were right the whole time.
Right, but who really should be the boss? The fucking doctors. The doctors should step in and say, not until after the molars have come in, they've gone through puberty, they grow up, we're not doing this. Until they're 18.
And to that point, to that point, can a 14-year-old girl go into a plastic surgeon and say, I want a boob job without parental consent? You know, a female. Can even a female walk into a a plastic surgeon's office and say, no, I want my boobs bigger. Well, no, because you're still developing and we've got to blah, 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 all of the realistic, rational stuff, right? So and I want to just like quickly go back to John Michael's earlier point about the studies that say that it's mainly straight people that are pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to ask the question, how many studies have been done or allowed that actually brought in the LGBTQ plus LMNOP community into this equation? Or is it transphobic or homophobic to even ask this question in a scientific setting? How can we go to a gay pride parade and do a broad, you know, study on the people that are there? Can we ask them these questions? I would venture to say that to this point, those questions have been off limits in a scientific setting.
I don't think anybody cares about that. As long as it's covered by insurance. Now, who is in charge? Why are insurance companies doing this? Why are they covering this? Why will they do gender reassignment surgery on a 14-year-old when they might not give a boob job to an aspiring little cheerleader who needs bigger boobs so she can feel like she's a better cheerleader?
Yeah, how many emancipation cases are we seeing with female boob jobs? You know what I mean? Like, why is it that this, you know, and so, but like I said, that leads me to the question of, I wonder how many studies have been allowed on this population. And I'm not talking about, you know, studies against their will or anything like that, but talk studies. Like, you know, we've talked about it on the show before that Welcome Home Ministries was able to get into the to a female prison and do a broad spectrum population study. And I'm not saying that LGBTQ people are criminals, but what I'm saying is that in another sense, that when you are able to do these broad spectrum studies, like we were able to with Welcome Home Ministries, we were able to find out that there were, a frightening amount of people who were sexually or physically abused in the jail system. And of course, most of them are there for drug-related crimes, you know. So now, so we were wrapping our heads around this. What's that?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Oh, no, I was just commenting that I certainly was when I was in the jail system, for sure. That happened to me, right?
Yes.
So I saw it firsthand. Yeah.
Yeah. So Elizabeth said, who cares? Well, there are some people out there like Welcome Home Ministries that were able to, that did care. They did want to get to the root cause of recidivism. You know, we wanted to make sure that whatever was going on in this community was not repeated. We wouldn't go back into the system, right? And so out of love and compassion, we were able to do these studies. But it's getting harder and harder to be able to do this stuff. So there are people out there who care, but certainly not in the scientific community. So we may never be able to answer this question on a broad scale.
Yeah, and I think we need to start doing more of those studies, right? Because like I said earlier, I have no problem with trans people, you know, like at all. But I do have a problem with, you know, like weaponizing the medical system and the supposed healthcare system against them to do things for them that are actually harmful, right? And now we have a larger group of people detransitioning that are coming out and saying, you know, like they didn't tell me that this chemical that they're giving me for my hormones is actually a chemical castration used in prison for sex offenders. They didn't tell me that, you know, like a large portion of the time things go wrong with these surgeries because they're difficult to do, right? They didn't tell me that I would have to have the same surgery multiple times to fix errors, all of these different things, you know? And so at the very least, like that is violating informed consent that apparently we don't care about anymore after the vaccine or during the vaccine or whatever.
Or before,
but, you know, like probably. That is directly harming people. And I don't, you know, like I can't fathom these people who say that they're like, you know, they have the banners like save trans kids' lives. Well, that's awesome, you know, like, but how are you doing that when you're actually making their lives much worse and much more difficult? And I'd never heard, like I said, when I was listening to that podcast with that trans man the other day, like, I didn't know that there were, you know, like, these huge problems with the kinds of estrogen they give people and leading to really aggressive dementia, you know, like, mm-hmm. and nobody told mm-hmm. him about that, you know, like, when he went in to have these surgeries. And so his entire argument was, you know, like, I went to therapy for OCD. The therapist kind of, like, nudged me into thinking that I was trans. Then when I was 18, I had surgery without any information about any of this stuff. And yes, we can talk about personal responsibility, but you should also be able to trust a medical professional, you know, like, to have your best
exactly.
interest. And so now, you know, like, his argument is, like, now I'm a eunuch that has no joy in my life, and I'm going to be this way. Like, he's finding joy, but still, you know, like, I'm going to be this way forever, you know, like, because he has a lot of issues now from the detransition, from the surgery, from not taking hormones anymore, like, all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, like, impossible choice either way, right? Like, there's a lot of detransitioning, but then at the same time, like, he could get this really terrible form of dementia if he doesn't detransition. And these are, you know, this is information that's important that nobody ever provided to him and that he had to find out for himself. And the person that was hosting the podcast is, she's also a trans woman, and she, you know, like, has this mm-hmm. podcast. And she said that she was learning new information from him as she was interviewing him. And I think that that is a travesty, you know, like, if the school systems know so much about these issues, then, and they're going to educate an entire classroom about being trans because they want to be inclusive or whatever, then maybe they should mm-hmm. also start educating themselves about those kinds of issues, right? And, like, telling people about them.
Well said. That's
very, very good point. You know, this is a clear case of a cult collusion. You know, they chased all of the Christians out of the schools and brought this in. And it wouldn't be bad if it was natural and it was a natural organic movement. Like, you've always, there's like six gay kids in my family. And, you know, nobody's in anybody's face about it. But that's a lot of kids in a big family. So every family has gay kids. Men and women, and they're out there. And, you know, the inclusive, you know, society embraces and or tolerates, whether, you know, we tolerate a lot of things. It's called good manners, and then they had to make laws making you tolerate things, whether you like them or not. It's just called a civilized society. But it crosses the line when you start make everybody be left-handed, whether you want to or not. This is the way to be it. And that's kind of what they're doing. And that's where it's like, no. Pull it back a little bit. And then if you're going to be like this, where's your accountability? Where is your medical accountability? I mean, we can't even get them to acknowledge all of these horrible side effects of all the drugs that they've already put everybody on. This poor kid should...
Very true.
He should be the landmark case to, you know, inform consent on this and stop this in the tracks. Because talk about how did they ruin his life by lying with this fallacy of medical malpractice, you know? I mean, it was. The sex offenders that they took off these drugs, because that was like, it was medical castration, you're a repeat offender, we can't let you out, we're going to put you on this drug. They had to stop that because why? Because of all these effects. It was dangerous to the people. It's like, it doesn't matter, you lost that. You lost that cloak, that blanket of protection, because if we let you out of jail, you're raping little kids. So you're going to suffer and get dementia. That was everybody's opinion on that. But they still... Well, we can't. That was the one thing that would keep these guys from acting on their horrible desires, and it wasn't safe to give it to them. But miraculously, it's
well,
safe
now
to
the
give
United
it to
Nations says
now.
That pedophilia
what
is a lifestyle choice. and a human right, and it should not be criminalized or prosecuted, you know? So this is like the rabbit hole we're going down with it now.
10 years ago it was. keep your guns, guys. Don't give up your guns. That's all I can say. My God.
Word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
True.
And your Bible.
So what do you guys think about the drag queen story time laws that are getting passed? I think it's so hilarious that we're arguing about drag queen story time.
We have gay and lesbian Bible studies. You know, why don't we show them there's a whole other side of the alphabet soup, and we can teach our children kindness and moralities.
Exactly. Exactly. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just wondering what everyone thinks about the drag queen story time bill or whatever, the drag queen bills that have been passed in Tennessee, I think it was, wasn't it? And
did it ban them?
Yeah, I want to say it banned them. It banned all children observing drag queens at all, I want to say. It was very broad and very murky. I want to say children seeing drag queens, period. And, like, the drag queen and the venue that hosted the drag queen could be fined if a child sees their performance and their art.
I think it's a really great area. I mean, I don't have a problem with drag queens, right? Like, but my issue is, why do you need the acceptance of children? You know, like, I understand teaching children to be kind to each other, right? Like, you may have a gay classmate, and obviously you can't be hateful to them. But I also don't understand why grown adults, you know, like, because one of the arguments that I saw being made was that they want to teach children acceptance, but I don't understand why adults feel that they need the acceptance of children, you know? Like, I think that's a little weird.
Agreed.
But I don't know that we should ban them from all drag. I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends, like, what kind of drag show you're having. And, you know, like, I have gone to some really fun, like, super family-friendly drag shows before at Pride, right? Like I said, like, during the day. And everybody is, like, dressed, you know, like, regularly, right? Like, nobody, like, looks like a hooker, you know? And, like, they're just wearing clothes and performing, and it's fun, as opposed to, you know, like, we're doing a striptease show in front of children, right? Like, I just really think that, I mean, I can understand the knee-jerk reaction to want to ban all of them. Like, when you see a lot of the clips of the ones that children are being subjected to, like, with the fake dildos everywhere and all of these things. But I don't know that that's, like, the answer either, right? Like, gay people fought really hard to have rights and equality. And I don't think that should be taken away just because you have crazy people that are part of an awful agenda stealing your community, kind of, right? Like the maps and stuff. I mean, the same way that I don't think women should not be able to win in their own sports league anymore just because biological men want to play sports with them. I don't know. It's a hard answer.
Yeah, I agree. Right. And how about this? Maybe no children in bars. Maybe
children cannot go into bars.
Well, are
anywhere.
You sure?
In Illinois,
maybe on
in
Sunday brunch or something, they open up the family.
Nope, they're not allowed.
If you've got
you
a liquor license,
wearing,
you know, and not a food handling card.
But not a bar, no, they're just not. And that's still a law. They cannot come through and upset every single law that's on the books already, as in the right for a woman to, you know, every single law that has been passed to protect women's rights has to go away in order to accommodate this new brand of civil liberties for a sexual.
Exactly. And that's why
and
this
stuff,
is, I
like,
believe,
okay,
a multifaceted
no,
attack.
No, we have to rethink this, guys. Got to rethink it. Because it's we cannot change all of society because you feel pretty. I'm sorry. And matter of fact,
no, you cannot touch my child.
And that's kind of why I started with let's separate gender identity with sexual orientation. If we did that, if we based laws off of that one sole principle, separating gender identity with sexual orientation, maybe we would not have toddlers sticking dollar bills down drag queens' G-strings. You know what I mean? And I bring that up to for shock and awe value, you know? That could it be that if we just separate these two concepts, we could stop fighting about it?
No, it doesn't matter because they're so close. You can't separate them. It's called decorum, social decorum. Children don't belong in a sex club.
Yeah,
period.
But what if there's a drag queen in the library? You know what I mean?
Doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. Is that so? Why don't we
belong in the libraries? It's these are not child friendly. You need to rethink what you're doing here. This is exactly why nobody wanted to give gay people, speaking as a gay person, they didn't want to give us any rights because they were worried what we'd be doing. And now look what we're doing. You're not leave the kids alone. This is why they won't let gay couples adopt children, for fuck's sake. And now look what's going on.
But I don't even think it's an issue with gay people. Like, I think that a lot of non-gay people, I mean, how easy it is, I can't say words, how easy is it now to be a man with a beard and throw some lipstick on and go into the women's bathroom, and how dare anybody question you being in there because you have lipstick on and now you're a woman, right? Because they've even changed the word in the actual dictionary. They've changed the definition of what a woman is. But you don't have to be gay. You could just easily be, you know, like a straight heterosexual person that wants to harm children. And now you have an open into their spaces, right? And you can couch yourself as, well, I'm part of this community. And I would like to know personally how many of these people we see with, like, arrest records for child porn and child exploitation that are coming out that, you know, like, are these men dressed as women? How many of them are actually trans? How long have they actually lived that way, you know? Or are they just doing it now because it's easy access? Because I truly believe that most gay people are not. I mean, I've grown up around a lot of gay people, and none of them have ever been, you know, like, weird with any children that I've ever noticed or had these issues. I don't think it's a gay issue.
Well, ladies, I have to run, but it was nice talking to you. I'll call back in a little bit if I have some time, okay?
Okay, we love you.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk with you.
And that girl, I don't know who the other lady is, but you should add me on Facebook. Let's be friends because I like your style.
Yay.
Oh, that's
not Elizabeth, not Danielle, the other woman who's talking. Okay, let's be friends.
Yeah. Okay, I'll add you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
There you go.
He's John Michael is one of my favorites.
He is a doll. He really is. But
now, he was missing for like 2 years. I was so upset.
We're happy. They're happy and single, and it's all about them. They don't want kids. And most of them don't have kids. You know what I'm saying? This is not a natural thing. The people that are going after kids, you need to question them. Why are they going? Why do they need to be by a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old? Something is wrong with this person. And try to mask this all. You're so hateful. No, we're suspicious. We're protective. This is not your child. And if it was your child, we should be a society where we're like, oh my gosh, is that kid safe? What's going on here? We need to be better people. Bottom line, that's my thoughts on this whole thing.
Right, and they're after our children. I think that's an undeniable fact, that whoever they is, I'm not saying that it's the gay community, but it's all communities seems to be really trying to indoctrinate, abuse, traumatize our children. And I think that no matter where it comes from, no matter what community it comes from, we need to stand up for our children. We need to unite around protecting our children.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, I would
go ahead, babe.
I would argue that it's the 13 bloodlines, you know, like, and they're not gay or straight. They're just not even human. you know, but they're the mm-hmm. ones. I mean, that is my one issue with Russell Brand, right? It's his hanging out with Noah Harari that is bragging about how they will be able to hack any human and our thoughts will not be able to be our own and there's no such thing as a soul anymore because we won't have one because of transhumanism. And to have transhumanism, you know, like you have to break apart and fracture people's psyches, which is why you go after children, right? Because it's much easier, you know, to break their psyche yes. and fracture them and control yes. them permanently if you start at childhood. Mm-hmm. It's the same yes. reason why MK Ultra and Project Montauk mostly targeted children, right? And kidnapped hundreds of thousands of children to mind control. It's the, you know, and it's the same reason why you would get rid of the mother. Like, they have openly stated that they fear the mother because the mother will die for their children, will fight for their children, not all mm-hmm. mothers, clearly, but the majority of us, right? And we can be pretty fierce, but we're also the life bringer. So if you get rid of the feminine, the female life bringer, you know, and you have these like incubator babies now, then it's so easy to have transhumanism. It would take yeah. no effort on their part. It's why they have to erase us.
Yeah, and they are conditioning you via the medical system, you know, and do I hate them? I do. The medical mafia is what I call them. If you have diabetes, you have a little box connected to your body. You are already a robot. And I look at these people, and I can't be around them because I'm like, oh, God, look at you. Oh, that's just, it's so unnatural. It's so unnecessary. Good diet helps your pancreas. You don't need to attach a machine to your body, but that's normal now. And I yeah. don't even want to know what else they're doing to people. And,
and think about this, going one step further. 70. So you've got diabetes and you're connected to this machine. Let's just say that you connect that machine up to the internet so that it can do blood sugar level reading, you know, a couple times a day. How easy would it be to
today? Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, how easy would it be to give them a fatal dose of insulin? That person, if it's connected to a machine.
There's actually science. I've seen movies like this. This is like, you know, how evil, and that whether or not it's like disclosure, because this was like evil government. You work for us forever. We've already put something. It's a kill shot. You don't do what we say, something goes off in your brain. We got you connected already. There's movies about this, and it's like, we're so close to this, and you don't even realize what you're giving up. And there's psychological torture of, you are just not a nice person. I'm sorry, I'm an old white gay woman who's over 50. I'm your worst nightmare. I'm going to tell you this is wrong. I'm going to pretend I'm a strong black woman. Okay? And it's still wrong. It's wrong. And you can't pretend it's right because we're not going to let you. That's how we stop this. And they'll be like, oh, they don't know what to say, but they're going to kill. Sorry, you're going to have your temper tantrum. You can't take my child, pretend it's okay to have these sexual encounters. And then in Italy, they just passed a law. It's okay for the bestiality. So pretty soon you're going to be directing your own porn movie with my little kid and a dog. Is this what the road we're going to go down? And you're going to call me a racist homophobe because I'm ruining the parade? We need to call this out because it's just started. It's just kind of started, and we've got to put a stop to it. This is the one. This should be the line, the hill that we die on, is this mental illness, make-believe, rainbow fucking cabaret of hell that you're trying to justify. And I'm not saying, no, say the truth. This is not right. This is just simply not right. This is not the society we should be living. This is not the future we should be giving our kids. The end.
This is why I love Gays Against mm-hmm. Groomers, because, you know, like,
yes.
we can say whatever we want, but it's very helpful to have people who are active members in their community, you know, like come out and say, like, bitch, you're, I'm sorry for that word, but you're using us to do this thing that we are absolutely against, you know, and like, why would we be offended by people using the word groomer, right? Like, we're not offended by that word because we're not that thing. And if we are offended, then we need to get some serious, like, go turn ourselves in or something, because the only people offended by that phrase are the people who are that thing, right? And it's very helpful to have the people that are actually, because it's a little different to try to call, you know, an out-of-the-closet gay man active in his community homophobic, right? Like, you can call me homophobic pretty easily, but not, you know, like John Michael, for example. Like, you can't call him homophobic because then that means he hates himself, which he obviously does not, right? But having people with strong voices that are members of different communities, it's why we need more Indigenous people to come out and say, this is not a real two-spirit. This is not what they actually are. And you don't have to, you know, call them this and give them extra respect because they're not medicine people, right? Like, we need people who are part of communities to stand up and get brave again and say, you know, like, we're not okay with this. We're not okay with you using our communities or our cultures or whatever it is, you know, to force other people to support a thing that is evil at its core.
I totally agree.
But you also need to have parents be shamed into being good parents. The good parents are not going to take their little two-year-olds to drag queen story time at the library. There's going to be a handful
right.
of crazy people. Those are the crazy people. We're staying far, far away from them. And it's okay to be better than them. And that's how you build a society. And let them suffer their own guilt. And no, we're not going to accept you. So sorry. We're not going to give you a parade for what a good progressive mother you are. No, 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 no. And I think that's what we need to do. Stop. It's a collective. We're not going to play this game. Sorry. And I really do. I think this is very cut and dry. And the days of okay, right back to the beginning of the show. Why do we not have Tucker to play clips of anymore? He's not on TV anymore. Because AOC and Chuck Schumer decided we can't have that kind of talk. They've decided that's how it is. And they've also decided Big Pharma is going to take our country down and rob our children of their actual true selves, creativity and future, and fuck their minds up and have society fighting over stupid shit that should be a no-brainer. And there's federal money.
One of the biggest parts of indoctrinating the masses is indoctrination of the youth, right? So we're witnessing this right now. It's getting more and more extreme. And so to Elizabeth's point, yes, absolutely. It is our obligation as parents, if you are a parent or if you love a child, to fight this, to stand up against this, mm-hmm. to make sure that, you know, your children know, you know, again, to beat a dead horse, but the difference between gender identity and sexual orientation, to not allow, you know, you can have pride for what you identify as, but you cannot abuse people so that you can feel whole, right? You can't say that, you know, especially like with the topic of the UN, I don't know if they actually voted on it yet, but, you know, putting up measures saying that, you know, they're going to decriminalize basically raping children.
Do they have really any power? Do they have power? Or do they just like sit on their thrones and declare things? And we're like, well, yeah, but that isn't the law in our land. They're just like, they throw these things out.
And I don't know.
And I think that's how we should all take everything. Okay, are they doing it? Well, my father, well, just because they're doing it doesn't mean we're going to do it. And that's just how it is. You know, let there be 28% crazy people. They're going to do their crazy things. We're not doing this. And we're going to have a society where you'll see it'll be the classic divide of wow and yeah, we've got our shit together over here. And we'll see. We'll see who lives the longest, who becomes the most productive and most happy. Because if
these kids and the parents are all pharmaceutical junkies and all entertainment consumer, you know, the puppets. Does the TV say we're happy this week or are we sad? I don't know. Let's turn on the TV. If that's how they live, I'm not even concerned with their life. They're actually like a waste of my air, basically. And I'm gravitating towards better people. And I don't see, here's the point. I don't think this should be an issue. This shouldn't be this huge hyperbolic division of the country. It should be a no-brainer. There's going to be 12 young, disturbed little liberal mothers that are going to take their kids to these things. And then it's kind of like, wow, the library is not what it used to be. We're going to go do this. My cousin's making their own daycare in Iowa. She's put out a feeler because they don't have the daycare. They certainly are going to be doing, you know, drag queen. they're going to be, you know, finger painting and fun things. This is weird. You know, it's kind of like you'll fizzle out. This is almost like this. I don't know. This a movie trailer. It's like you're given a movie trailer almost every other week, and it's like that's not reality. They want you to think it's reality. That's my thoughts on this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I also think as a community,
go ahead, Lily,
that we need to be a lot better at supporting our community members, right? Because I know a lot of parents who are really good parents who really love their children, who don't want them to be subjected to a lot of this stuff, but they feel like they don't have a choice, right? Because they're a single parent or they're working all the time or whatever thing is going on, you know, like that they feel like they are forced to pick the lesser of two evils, right? Like, starve my child, like let my child starve to death or send them to school, right? And there's no middle ground. Like if we can be better at setting up community homeschool and vetting our people better so that we know that we have, you know, like good people with values that we support, you know, like doing this community homeschool and we have, you know, like people bartering for daycare or, you know, like actual parents, like taking turns watching each other's children or whatever it takes to do all of that, you know, like so parents forced to send their children to these places or forced to, you know, subject their children to these things. Because a lot of the time parents don't even know, like we are completely displaced in most education centers and schools, right? Like they don't want input from parents. They don't want parents to be involved or be there or be active in anything anymore. And so, you know, like, yes, it's our job as the parent to know what they're being taught and what's happening. But there's also a lot of children that are falling in these gaps because their parents want to be present and are, and they can't always be. And that's when they need other strong parents, you know, to stand in for them and be supportive of them so that all children, you know, because all children's lives matter, regardless of whether they're mine or yours or my neighbor's down the street, or even if I don't like their parents, you know, like the children matter.
And that's where you do. You build your community. You get to know your neighbors. You have play dates with those little kids that your kids go to school with. You get to know the parents. And you try to be friends with them. I mean, I've seen my sister has, like, you know, changed the friends of her kids because the parents are just quite not the right shade of normal. And it's kind of like you're alleviating problems down the road, right? And I was like, oh, why are you doing that? But I'm like, I guess you're right. You're actually right because you want to keep your kid in a healthy environment. And they'll find other friends. And you introduce new friends. And it's like, it's good because you want to protect your child as long as you can and to build them to a strong, secure human being that knows the difference between right and wrong. And you've got to teach them that too. You got to be able to point that out. And you need to have your kids be around the parents who also have the same values you do so that your children are safe. And it's not that hard. I mean, it really isn't that hard. I live in a community of immigrants. And they're all from Mexico. And I'm like, it's now a blessing in disguise. Not only do they have the food in the world, but they have the best values. They will go absolute batshit crazy once they find out that they're trying to make their children a different sex. Oh, my God. It's not going to fly. They already were like, but you cannot, no, the sex we teach at home. That was a big thing. And I think our district went like, we're not, no, no, no. Instead, they changed their whole plan, and we're going to restructure the middle school, 8th grade, 7th grade, and we're buying new, redoing buildings. We're not doing sex education this year. They changed their mind because the community was very, very upset. And it was almost 100% Mexican kids. And it's like, oh, fuck no. And I was like, oh, guess not. Guess you have to wait like another 20 years to do this in this community. Find another test group that's not so machismo. And I was like, yes, see, this works. This is where they don't think these things through. They want all these immigrants to come here, but they forget that these cultures are very, very strong, manly, chauvinistic archetypes in their families. You can't break this. It's not going to go. And it's like, oh, we didn't really, oh, we should have let the French come in instead. They just didn't think this whole thing over. And it's kind of
well,
like,
well, okay,
it's gonna
and again, and you're right, but I do have to say that, again, let's, I mean, if we just break it down to its core of separating gender identity with sexual orientation, you know, what's wrong with teaching girls about their periods? You know what I mean? Like, how, without that kind of education, sometimes,
well,
and I understand. Go ahead.
That was a big thing. It was kind of like that. That is something the parents will teach their children when they feel their kids are ready to know about these things. I was horrified in sixth grade. I didn't want to be there. It was horrifying. No, no, no.
Did you have your period at that point?
I did not, but I didn't, you know, the whole experience of having to go touch the breasts of this dummy and put on a phallic on a fucking rubber on a banana. I was like,
well, okay,
no,
and so
was,
let me tell you,
but,
as I grew up in a very indoctrinated school district. Listen, please. I grew up in a very indoctrinated, please, let me talk. I grew up in a very indoctrinated school district. Fifth grade was periods. And or you know, for the boys, erections. But you know, and then in sixth grade was penetration and vaginas engorging for you know to give birth to babies, right? But I'm telling you that first part of it, if we're separating gender identity with sexual orientation, they're different. And I can tell you that a lot of people, girls, you know, will bleed and think they've got cancer if, you know, if their parents cannot be.
Go ahead. Yeah. We were talking about the culture of just knowing your neighbors and knowing your people and knowing, it takes a village to raise your kids. And you just, it's your people together that have the same values that you do. And I really know that they gave us a pamphlet. They sent the pamphlet of the periods home to talk to our parents about. The people in my district, they don't want the school to say anything about sex to their children. That's a total taboo. That's not their job.
And I'm good
and
with that.
That is a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing. These are my children, not your children.
Yeah,
when my children
but again,
are old enough,
I don't
tell
mean
them
to say
about
that word. But can we say that sex and periods are different things?
I would say that your children, you raise your children the way you want to raise your children. You leave my children alone. That's what I say.
Okay, so you won't answer it.
And I think a lot of people say that. I think it doesn't make a bit of it's a moot point. Because
I think Danielle has a good point, though, because I had my period, I didn't know what they were, and I was terrified, and I thought I was actually going, like, something was really wrong, and I was dying, you know, like, because I didn't know, no one had taught me yet, you know, like, what that means or what that is, and I can't remember if I had health class about that yet or not. I don't think that I did. If I did, I must have like slept through it or something because I had no idea what was happening and I was like super freaked out. But I also, like, my mom and I were not close until I was an adult. So she was not someone I felt like I could ask. And unfortunately, when you ask other children, you know, like about anything like that, they have information from like the internet and stuff. And it's often like untrue or unhelpful, you know, and I don't know, like, it's a mixed bag because do I want some creepy adult teaching my child about that kind of stuff? No, because that's my job. But do I want some poor child, like, who doesn't know anything about any of this stuff, you know, like, being given a bunch of, like, porno information from Google? Like, also, no. You know what I mean? And so there are children who are not going to learn about that either way. And maybe we just structure the school curriculum, like, you know, I mean, I know when I was in school, your parents had to sign a thing saying that they were okay with you attending health class. And so I feel like maybe that's the right way to do it, right? Like, the children whose parents are okay with it attend the class, and the children who aren't don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great idea.
That doesn't hold water anymore, though. But, you know, now you've got TikTok videos of a man pretending to be a girl who's, oh, my period. They're making a whole mockery of this. It's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I really think, and the fact that they've made laws that your parental rights are gone once they enter our building. You chose to send them to public school.
Also true.
Now our child can make into whatever. And that is tyranny at the finest level. The state only.
It's a really scary time to be a parent, you know, like, and I'm very blessed to be in a position where I can, you know, I could kind of restructure my life around homeschool, you know, like, and unschooling and doing all of that. But I also recognize, you know, like, in my income bracket, that almost never happens, you know, like, and it's a huge blessing that I can do it. Like, you know, I know a lot of other parents who are in my income bracket that, like, you know, there's no way that they could ever imagine possibly being able to figure that out unless they want to be homeless and not be able to eat, you know.
Absolutely.
That's why I think we need to come together as communities to help each other, because there are a lot of people in, you know, like, different situations, especially economic, that have the same values that you and I have and believe the same thing, but they feel really stuck.
We have 5 seconds left. I'm sorry. Three hours goes by so fast. I love you. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
I love you so much.
Homeschool co-ops, guys. Bye-bye.
Yes. And get chickens.
I see that is going to be in the future, is farming and homeschooling.